is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy cuts to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
And we are live from the Combine. Good afternoon. Welcome to the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and our One Buffalo remote studio at Radio Row in the Indianapolis Convention Center, downtown Indianapolis. Donald, we made it.
We did make it. This is everybody's studio, though. It's tight.
It is tight, but good. I think we're in good shape here. We've got a pretty good show coming up for you. We want to hear from you. The phone lines are going to be open, obviously, and some good guests coming up. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to sit down and talk with Sean McDermott, Bill's head coach, sat with Donald and I and talked a long time, really. We haven't talked to Sean since the end of the season, I don't think, right?
Was it the end of the season?
I think it was the week after the season ended, right? Did we get him in there?
He and Brandon, right?
Yeah.
We had him in. Right after the exit interview. So, yeah, it's been a little while.
So we got Sean McDermott coming by. We have Brandon Bean coming by at 2 o'clock today, the Bills general manager here in Indianapolis. His first combine as a general manager. We'll talk with him about that. And former Bills general manager, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Bill Polian, is going to join us here at 1 o'clock. So there's a kind of a star-studded lineup to get things going here. We have not seen any of the prospects yet. They start to make their appearances here in the media room late this afternoon, and then the offensive linemen will be on the field starting tomorrow, I think, for some of their workouts. So the players, really, that part of it hasn't begun yet. What really has started here in Indianapolis is the team executives from all 32 teams, most of the 32 teams, meet with the media, and there's tons of media here today also, Tom.
Yeah, well, first off, with Bill Polian.
Yes.
Last time we had Bill Polian on, well, here last year, he dropped the headliner for us. So I'm just saying, maybe he'll drop another
one. What did he say?
He said something about he compared Sean to Mark Levy.
Yeah.
So we'll see if he can drop another headline for us today.
And Bill, you know, has dropped headlines over the last week or so.
He has. I want to talk to him about Lamar Jackson, his thoughts on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody wants to talk about quarterbacks, so we might as well talk about that a little bit. But, there's everybody in the football world is here. When you look around, obviously all of the different teams have their – stations right around us, but then you see the big sets and everything behind us, ESPN, NFL Network, Sirius. Everybody's here.
Everybody's here. Everybody's talking today. The coaches meeting with the media. Sean McDermott still over there, believe it or not. He's been here almost 4 hours now.
Yeah.
About 3.5 hours. He's still over there just talking individually with some
long
of the media
day.
Guys.
It's a long
they want to get it out
it,
of there.
You got to get it out of the way. Yeah. They have one day that's set aside. This is your media day obligation. And when he leaves here, I'm sure he's going to go get lunch. And then he's going to get right into the prospects.
Yeah. Both he and Brandon Bean talked about that. Excuse me. Their role here, how important it is for them to meet with these prospects here and how much they want to get that done once they get done with their media obligations. We are here on February 28th. We are 2 weeks away from the official start of the league year. Free agency begins March 14th with the legal tampering period a couple of days before that. In the meantime, the Bills and other teams can talk to their own. They can talk to their own free agents, try to re-sign them. The landscape, I think, changed a little bit earlier this week when the Bills signed Vontae Davis. But we want to know from you, as you approach free agency 2 weeks away, it's our Twitter poll, it's the discussion we'd like to launch right at the top of the show. Who's the most important Bills free agent for them to re-sign? You can call us up, let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number to call in Buffalo or from outside Buffalo, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Or you can vote in our Twitter poll. That's our Twitter poll. The most important Bills free agent for them to re-sign. Maybe it changes now. I think it does now that Vontae Davis is a Buffalo Bill, don't you?
I think it does. I think as we were talking last week before he was signed and we were talking about, you know, E.J. Gaines is a big part of this defense. I'm not sure how big of a free agent he is for this team now, you know, because if – the projections are right, and you're talking about getting into the ballpark of $8.5 million a year for E.J. Gaines. Now the fact that they've actually given Vontae Davis a one-year deal for $5 million, I don't think they have as big of an emphasis on trying to re-sign E.J. I think Preston would be more, you know, guys like Preston and guys like Kyle would be bigger.
Well, we want to hear from you. You can vote on our Twitter poll, which is up right now. We offer you those suggestions, including Preston Brown. And right now, in the early balloting, 40% of you say Preston Brown is the most important Bills free agent for them to re-sign. 33% say defensive tackle Kyle Williams. 20% say the cornerback E.J. Gaines. 7% have somebody else in mind. Who do you have in mind? Give us a call, 803-0550, or from outside Buffalo, toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. A week ago, I think E.J. Gaines would have been at the top of the list.
Yeah, I think he was at the top of the list. But, we were talking about E.J. Gaines being at the top of the list. I don't know if he was always going to be number one, just because of how much money he's going to get paid, you know. And I'm interested to talk to Brandon Bean or even Coach McDermott about how much they value, let's just say, certain positions that they feel like one is valued more than the other. Obviously, certain guys are going to get paid. If they're good, they're good, and you'll get paid. But I think they truly value the front end of the defense more than the back end. And so even though E.J. Gaines is good and he was high on their list, I don't know if he was number one. I think more of a guy like Preston or, you know, the defensive front linebackers will all be before the DBs.
A couple of early responses on Twitter from folks who have voted in on Twitter. Richard tweets in Preston Brown. He goes, wow, I would say Gaines and Williams. Brown will be too expensive. He just tackles, and we need a playmaker. And another tweet, this one from Lead the Stampede. He says number 95, Kyle Williams, is the most important Bills free agent to re-sign. He said he's the best build of the decade. They need his intensity and leadership on defense. Plus, there's almost no depth behind him right now. Him leaving creates another massive hole, and it's easier to find a middle linebacker than it is to find a defensive tackle, the ilk of 95. Brian Klein tweets in, short-term, the most important free agent to re-sign is Kyle Williams. Long-term, you know, he says Preston Brown.
People have a true love for Kyle Williams in Buffalo. And obviously, I think he's important to the DNA of this team, the culture that they're trying to build, the leadership. But when you want to rank these guys, I mean, is Kyle really number one in terms of bringing guys back? I mean, look, Kyle definitely produced some for the team this year, and his leadership is unmatched on this team. But at the same time, you got to bring some young talent on this team. So would you have Kyle as a number one guy that you need to re-sign when you want to? I mean, ultimately, teams want to get young. They want to get better. You know, Kyle, I think, will just be that piece of the puzzle that you're bringing in to help teach these guys. I don't think he's the number one guy,
though. I don't either. I wouldn't vote for him number one. I might vote for him number two or three. I would vote for Preston Brown number one. Preston's situation took an interesting turn last night on our long drive here from Buffalo to Indianapolis.
Very
last
interesting.
Night.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Preston talked to the Boston Herald, had some comments about how maybe it wouldn't be such a bad thing. He said, if I were to become the next Buffalo Bill to play for the New England Patriots, he talked about Stephon Gilmore, Chris Hogan, a little bit of Mike Gillislee. And he kind of left the door open for maybe Preston Brown going to the New England Patriots. Whether or not the Patriots are interested in him, we don't know.
Yeah, that's something that we don't know. And they have Dante Hightower.
Yeah.
You know, well, he'll be coming back from injury. He's their middle linebacker. So I don't know if they would pay Preston Brown to come up there. But ultimately, and I don't think Coach McDermott will really feed into that. Like, we will talk about that here in the media. The fans will get upset with that. And you start talking about, oh, you want to be the next guy to go to New England? And there might be some other players that think that as well, as we talked about yesterday in the car. I think ultimately Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean will look past that, because they know when you're a free agent out here, I mean, ultimately it's business. I'm not a part of the Bills organization right now. I'm free. And so I want to leave my door open for everybody and anybody who might want to take a look at me. So I think that was a strict business move. No bad feelings or ill will towards the Bills by Preston Brown. And I don't think that the Bills will have any ill will towards Preston Brown.
Fans might not see it that way, though.
Fans will not see it that way. Yeah, fans
right?
are like,
especially
you're going to leave and go, oh, right. man, what? Right. They get so upset.
But you don't, you know, Preston is you know, I'm sure being coached along, trying to create a market for himself, trying to find a job for himself to maximize his earning potential.
Yeah.
You can see almost why Preston would do that, although it wouldn't sit well with many fans, I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's business. At the end of the day, he right now is not playing football. Right now, he is trying to build his brand, which is Preston Brown. He's done it on the field, and now is a time where he truly has to sell himself off the field. And where he talks, he can't go into an interview and say, oh, no, I don't think I could ever play for the Patriots because I came from the Bills. That's a no-no. Because, I mean, you got to think about it this way. If he was to say that just about the Patriots, what other teams are out there right now would say, well, do you really just want to play for the Bills? Well, he might just want to play for the Bills, so we won't even take a look at him. He wants to keep all his options on the table, and so he's going to tell every team, yeah, I'd love to be in New England. I'd love to be in Cleveland. I'd love to be in Oakland. Whatever team is actually looking at him, because that's the smart business move for him and his family right now.
A tweet on this, Big Bills fan 1965 says, Preston wants to be a Patriot. hasn't learned anything in his time here. Middle linebacker big in this year's draft. Hayden Ritchie tweets in, E.J. Gaines should be the Bills' top priority, and he says it shouldn't be close. And D.J. Falco tweets in, I think Gaines is still the most important free agent. Davis is coming off injury, Vontae Davis, and depth at corner is, I believe, very important. The problem is, you know, they paid E.J. Gaines one-year deal, reportedly worth $5 million, maybe as much as $8
million. Right.
Or they paid Vontae Davis, rather. E.J. Gaines is going to make more than that.
He's going to make more. At a long-term deal.
Yeah. Like, what are we talking? You're
going to pay
$8 or $9 million?
Yeah, for E.J. Gaines.
E.J. Gaines
I'm sorry.
Plus
he's,
Vontae Davis?
E.J. Gaines is looked at, I think, as that second tier of corners in this league, and the market right now for those guys is $8 or $9 million. And he might get more than that. You never know. You know, when you look at guys like Stephon getting $13, $14 million a year, the next tier is $8 to $9 million. And if you pay Vontae $5 million, which can go up to $8 million, based on whatever incentives or whatever else is in there, you're not going to get into now, okay, now we got to pay E.J. Gaines $9 million a year. Because you still got to bring back, I think, like Leonard Johnson or Sharice Wright. You still need those guys. I think Leonard Johnson is a guy that I would see them actually bringing back, and he's going to get like $3 million, you know, for 1 year or 2 years or something like that.
Well, we're going to hear from Sean McDermott in a moment. We're going to hear from Brandon Bean coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. They have both met with the media. Among the interesting things that both of them talked about was Tyrod Taylor's status. And they virtually, I guess, guaranteed that the Bills are not going to cut Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah. And that can mean a couple of different things. That can mean, number one, they like him here. They want to keep him here. He's been instrumental in getting that team to the playoffs and breaking that famous playoff drought that we all talked about for so long. He was a big part of that. Even though he got benched, all of that stuff, his hard work, his leadership, you know, is hard to really match that with anybody who might come in here. The guys who were here that were here last year, they know him. And so that's important. And they might want to keep him for that reason, or they might want to sign him and then trade him. And they don't want to say that right now. You know, so those are the two options I think that they would be looking at if they're saying, yeah, we don't want to cut him.
Tyrod is just one of the many important decisions the Bills have to make. A couple of moments ago, just before we went on the air, we had a chance to sit down here at our set in Indianapolis on our Radio Row set and talk with the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, myself, Donald Jones, with head coach Sean McDermott. Well, Sean, thanks for stopping by. Your second combine as head coach of the Buffalo Bills. How is your role here different than it was a year ago?
Well, I don't know how much different it is, really. You know, probably the biggest difference is having Brandon and his staff on board with us, which is a great addition for us. And the key here is to make sure that we get to know these young men the best we can in a short amount of time and then be able to set our schedule for March.
It's a little bit different. You said now having Brandon on board and his entire staff. Is it a little bit different now working with him than it was last year?
Well, you know, listen, I worked well with the last regime as well, but just my familiarity with Brandon speaks for itself in terms of our years together and the trust that we have built up through the years. And then to see him come in and have an effect, a positive effect on what we've been able to do in a short amount of time really speaks for itself.
Now you said you obviously you had the relationship from Carolina. Do you guys have a routine when you would come down here? Like we go to this restaurant and then we go to work and then the next day
we talked about that a little bit. You know, and the weird part is a year ago he was still in Carolina. Mm-hmm. So, ironically enough, as well, our meeting space is right next to Carolina's as we evaluate the players on the field in the suite there. So, last year it was the same. So we were able to talk there a little bit, and then this year it's the same as well. So, you know, there's some comfort with that.
Yeah. Coach, we haven't had a chance to talk to you really since the season ended, after the end of the season. A lot has gone on since then, including a new offensive coordinator. Tell me about Brian Daboll, what you see from him, and how it's gone for the first 6 weeks or so since he's been on the job.
Yeah, I've been able to watch Brian through those 6 weeks, watch his leadership style, watch what he wants to do schematically with the offense and how he's intending to utilize our personnel and also work and integrate with the staff. I think has been done at a high level in a short amount of time. Still a lot of room for growth in what we're doing and how we're doing it. And listen, Brian really cut his teeth around one of the best coaches ever in our league, and Bill Belichick. And I was able to come from a similar coach in Andy Reid. And so we have some similar philosophies on how we want things done and how we see the game. So that's been fun to be a part of.
Coach, it's always talk about when a new coach or coordinator comes in, they have to find players that fit their schemes. For you as a head coach now with the new coordinator coming in, how hard is it for you when you have guys set in their positions? Well, nobody's set in their position. But when you have guys who are still on the team from last year and you say this is what they're good at, how can we I guess, fit a scheme around these guys.
Yeah, that's the key. Everyone has their systems. I think one of the keys to coaching really is fitting a system to the players that you have. And the hard part right now is that changes every year around the NFL, in particular where we are in our growth pattern, if you will, and just being so young or early in our phase of growth. And just in year two here, there's a lot of turnover with from one year to the next. Turnover is some that is necessary, brought on by the league through contracts and whatnot, but really the continuity is key. You'd like to be able to maintain as many players as you can, re-sign as many players as you can. If you do that, you know you're drafting well and the cap stays in good condition. And so that's all part of the process. But knowing our players this year as compared to last year, obviously, has been a good thing for me, at least personally.
You have a new defensive backfield coach, John Butler, who you have some history with. Tell us about him.
Well, John and I have known each other for a certain amount of years, several years, really. John and I went to the same high school, albeit. John had left before I got in there, and John was a great athlete in his own right. I was not a great athlete, but John was, and he's a Philly guy and brings that type of intensity to the job, which I embrace. So he'll fit into our overall staff, and the great part about John is he has a history of developing players both at the college level and the pro level, and worked in a similar system and what they did defensively in Houston over the years. And so it's a good get for us and a win-win situation for the team.
You know, Coach, I don't feel like around the league coaches do enough of not just talking about developing players but actually developing, teaching and developing players. And it seems like that's something you really harp on is teaching guys and developing guys and not just this is what the playbook is.
Right, there's a lot of different coaches out there that pride themselves in being great scheme guys or great fundamentalists, and I think that's all important. The personnel and the things is just as important, if not more important. Good coaches are good coaches for a reason, but the great ones, to me, have it on the personnel side as well, where they can develop players, identify who has the critical factors that we look for at each position to improve, and then getting on the grass with the players and developing them, not only in year one, but also critically in year two, year three, because again, going back to the cap and drafting, that's a part of it. You keep the cap in good shape if you can develop players and draft well.
What does Terry Robiskie bring to your receiving corps?
Well, there's probably not a play out there that Terry hasn't seen.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's been everywhere.
He's been everywhere, yeah. And he's done all of it, and he's had a lot of success in our league and at a high level. He's coached and played in this league and done both at a high level. So I have the utmost respect for Coach Robiskie and what he's brought to us so far. I mean, you look at a guy who over the years has developed a number of players, some really good ones, and then he's taken maybe some not-so-household names and developed them over the years into pretty substantial players around our league. So being able to get into a room, which to me is one of the more challenging rooms in the NFL on the offensive side of the ball, and the personalities you get amongst the wide receiver corps, and then similarly on the other side.
Don't be like that, Coach. Don't be like that.
You know what he's saying.
That's right. So that's key for us, being able to reach those players and then also develop the Zay Jones, the younger players in that room will be key for us.
You have you've hired a new analytics director, Luis Guillamo. Is that how you say his name?
Correct.
Guillamo. What do you have in mind for him? And you mentioned earlier today you look at him as a football analytics guy. What kind of task will you assign to him?
Yeah, I mean, information is important in our business, gathering information, being on the constant daily pursuit for information, not that we use it all, but just building awareness on a big picture level. And then it's a part. It'll be a part or a variable we use in the overall equation. It won't make a decision for us, but it'll be a factor in making the decision.
In-game decisions, whether to punt, whether to go for it?
Some of those, game management, situational football-type decisions or personnel, draft-driven decisions as well, or free agency. So, look, wisdom or information is key in our business, and timely information is key. So this is a move for us in terms of trying to get better in every facet of what we do and how we do things and staying ahead of the curve as much as we can.
You've been coaching in this league for a long time. You played football. You ever feel like sometimes it's like too much information? You start getting all of these different numbers on guys. I mean, ultimately, you've been coaching so long, you have an eye. and you have a feel for your team, for the room, all of that stuff. You ever feel like you're getting too much information?
A little bit, and there's times when you have to just cut the fat a little bit. But there's, you know, I look at it like this. If you take the analytics part of it and you add, you know, the gut instinct from the experience and watching film and what's going on then in the game as it relates to game management, I think you're able to come to as good of a decision in a short amount of time as possible.
The time is critical, though. I mean, you got to make all those calculations in a 15, 20 seconds. Right.
I wish I had till Monday morning to come up with some of those right answers. But listen, you know, you go through it and you live and learn through it. And I think that's the key, that what happened, you go back and you say, hey, whether it worked out or didn't, you go back and you reevaluate whether it was, in fact, the right decision. Because sometimes you do things that work out that, in fact, maybe weren't the right decision, and other times they go the other way. So just embracing that growth mindset is important.
Talking with Sean McDermott, Bills head coach at the Combine in Indianapolis. A couple of player moves I want to ask you about. Vontae Davis signed earlier this week. Free agent who didn't have to wait for the free agent period. What can you tell us about him, and what do you see his role moving forward with the Bills?
Well, it was a good move for us in a lot of ways to sign a free agent, one of this type of player caliber in this way with Vontae at this time. You know, there's benefits that we see on the field and off the field with a signing like this, and the benefits on the field are a veteran player at a key position, a position we value, that being a corner position. He's going to have to earn it, like all of our players, and earn his spot, earn his role in this football team. And he's got production on the ball and has shown a willingness to tackle, which is an important part of what we do defensively. And so we're anxious to get going with Vontae.
You said earlier you see him more as an outside type of guy. Is he a guy who's just outside, or can he play inside as well?
He has played just a little bit of inside before, and when he's matched receivers. And so we'll look at how he'll pair with Tre'Davious and the other players we have at the position. But most of his work has been outside.
I want to ask you about a guy who had a really good summer and then got hurt, and you've signed him already to come back, Rod Streeter, wide receiver. Mm-hmm. What do you know about Rod? How is his progression from his injury last year, and what possible role might he have?
Really liked Rod when we signed him last year and went through the process with us in the offseason program and training camp, and loved his DNA and what he was all about. Thought he was a fit, really, from that standpoint. And Rod's had a career where he's bounced to a couple different teams and was having, I thought, one of the better preseasons and one of the better training camps, and then he went down with the injury. So, you know, happy and thankful to have him back on board, and he'll add to the mix that we've got in the room there.
Eric Wood, his playing days are over. He has said that. Should we look at Ryan Groy as the heir apparent there, do you think, moving forward? Is that the way you're looking at it?
Yeah, Ryan's done a good job, and I've enjoyed being around Ryan for the year or so that I've been around him. And I know he started a number of games. I believe it was 7 in 2016 and did a nice job. And so Ryan's leadership, his work ethic, his physicality are all really good places to start for us when you look at making sure we've got a good offensive line up front.
What is your understanding with Kyle Williams right now, and when do you need some sort of certainty from Kyle as to his plans and what his intentions are to move forward?
Yeah, I think it's well documented, my affinity for Kyle and his family, and much like the rest of our players, I should add, what he's done in the community over a number of years, what he's done on the football team and on the football field, and for this organization. These things take time, and, you know, he's a guy that has done a great job of connecting my message as a leader of our group and connecting my message to the locker room, which is important, as we all know. So, you know, these things take time, and we'll just see how it works itself out. It's got to be the right thing for us and the right thing for Kyle and his family, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
Quarterbacks are going to be on display here later this week at the Combine. You have two quarterbacks on the roster right now. Tell us about Tyrod, your thoughts on him, and how you've said earlier today that among all the things you could do with Tyrod, releasing him from the roster is not – you're not thinking about
it. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll start with that first. I really don't feel like that's you know, the direction we're going. I mean, this is a good football player that's was instrumental in helping us reach the playoffs for the first time in 17 years, as we all know. So – Tyrod, you know, when you look at the intangibles, does a phenomenal job. He's one of the first in the building, one of the last to leave, and he's a leader on our football team. So, and I saw him grow during the year as we all grew together, and that was fun to watch. And so, you know, I like where we are right now at the position, and we'll just see how things move forward.
So many people after, now getting to Nathan Peterman, after his start out in L.A., seems like people forget about Nathan Peterman. And Murph and I have said, I don't think this organization has forgotten about Nathan Peterman. He's still on his roster, and I think they've showed a lot of confidence in him.
Right. He's not a guy that's going to go away just when you look at his career, what he's gone through in Tennessee and then going to Pitt, facing some adversity and having won at Pitt. And from a leadership standpoint, how he's developed through that. And that's part of the DNA and the guy that we drafted. And I still have a lot of confidence in Nate, and I'm anxious to watch his growth and what and the way he comes back and how he's handled this offseason. He's wired in such a way that he's only going to learn and get better from those experiences.
What did you send him away with? What did you tell him to work on? You know, you won't get him back here until April, mid-April, right? Another 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, it was.
What did you want him to work on?
It was
those
fun.
Exit interviews?
Yeah, those exit interviews are fun. You know, and in particular with Nate. Great question, Murph. I started to speak, and really Nate came up with a list already, knowing him. I mean, and the fan base is getting to know him, and that way also. And so. Look, he had some bumps in the road, and all of which he's going to learn from, and I'm confident in that, and confident in Nate Peterman because of it. Because going back to that exit interview, he had a whole list of things, what he was doing, when he was doing it, and his plan for the off season and his growth, which I think is phenomenal for a young player.
Now, getting to some of the guys that are going to be on display this week, a guy like Sam Darnold has come out and said he's not going to throw this week. Is that something that would change maybe your outlook on a guy if they make a decision like that?
Well, it's a part of the overall equation. I don't think it changes an outlook necessarily or makes the decision. I would, from a coaching standpoint, I would love to see every player compete, put their best foot forward, and just trust that a coach, in this case myself, knows enough to know that, hey, yeah, you haven't worked with maybe these receivers or these tight ends necessarily, but come out and put your best foot forward and compete. You know, that said, I know his body of work and a lot of for a lot of players as well, it speaks for themselves. But hey, let's evaluate everybody at the same place at the same time, and let's see you put your best foot forward.
What do you get out of the interviews, the personnel interviews that go on here at the combine this week?
Yeah, the biggest two things are the two M's, and those two being the medical part of it and the mental part of it. So being at the combine, we're able to get a pretty good feel medically for where guys stand and if there's concerns moving forward, and if there are concerns, will they deter us from drafting them, or are there just concerns that we have to manage moving forward? And then probably as big of an issue for us is the mental part of it, character/mental. A lot of the character we already know about, our scouts do a great job, Brandon and his staff, Joe Shane, do a great job of gathering that information during the year when we are playing and then giving it to us in the early part of the off season here. So we're through some of that. Gathering that information and that evaluation, and now we're into, hey, let's talk more about their football IQ, and that's really what goes on in the nightly formal interviews.
Now, for me as a former player, and I know a lot in the media, a lot of different things get blown up here, especially the 40 times. So does it vary based on position? As you talk about quarterbacks, obviously it's the mental and the medical in every position, but then for wide receiver, or DB, that 40 time might come into play. Is that
right?
Something that can really deter your decision in drafting a guy?
Yeah, that's why I'm not in the league. So that 40 time, I had everything else but the 40 time. I think it's important that you look at different measuring sticks. You know, the standards of this position needs to, I look at, you know, these three boxes, and the other positions I look at some other boxes. So some of the stats, some of the Olympic events, if you will, carry more weight based on the position, right?
Like
but at the end of the day, just having your chin over the bar. I mean, there's a lot of players that aren't even here that should be here, perhaps. And maybe there's some here that maybe shouldn't be here based on, really how they play. And so I think at the end of the day, we know it's a game of football, and we're not able to see them in pads out here, but they got to have their chin over the bar so it doesn't become a fatal flaw like my 40 time is for me. But that they can compete at a high level.
Can you give us an example of a guy throughout your years coaching where you came here, you had a chance to interview him, and you're like, you know what, I like that dude. Just from the interview process, I like that dude.
Oh, well, I mean, you go back over the years, a number of players that I've had a chance to be in the interview room with, and I'll just go back to Luke Kuechly, a guy that came in the room and right away had a presence, had a way about himself, very respectful of the people in the room, and was able to answer questions and process very quickly, which you could tell the football IQ was on point. So usually the real good ones have real good interviews also. It's been fun to watch the players really evolve as human beings as well. I mean, the the young men that come into our rooms now have, for the most part, a pretty good balance of they were good students. They were not only good people, but they were also good on the field. So that balance, the evolution of that balance has been fun to watch.
Sean, the last thing, you said something earlier today to the media here. You said, as far as the Bills, we're not as far along as some people think. What are you thinking there? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, number one is, yes, we made some humongous strides in this first year in a small amount of time, and that really is a credit to our team and everyone in the community as well for the support that we get. You know, but you, unfortunately in our business, because of the way the NFL is built, there's such parity around our league. You look at teams from one year that are in the playoffs, the next year they're not. And then you look at a player level. You look at players that have a good first year, and the next year mm-hmm. they, for some reason, slide back. And so there's a lot of that, and that's what makes our league great, part of what makes our league great. And so we talk a lot at One Bills Drive about the store doesn't close for the off season. We have to stay humble and stay hungry. And unfortunately, and I had a direct experience with this firsthand in Carolina, made a Super Bowl, and then you feel like, hey, we just got to do this to win it. And you really don't pick up where you left off, unfortunately, in our league anymore. You got to really, in a lot of ways, start over. And so we go back and hit the reset button and certainly build on some of the areas that were built up and learn and grow from some of the other areas.
The last thing I have, the year from year one to year two, is that something coaches, in terms of players, really think about a lot? Because a player, like you just were saying, can really go up and can really go down. Once you get to year three, four, five, I mean, a guy kind of knows what he's doing. But that year one to two is that real tricky one.
It is, and I think that's a big part of our development with our players, is understanding and trying to use every resource possible. And Terry and Kim Pegula do a great job of providing us with resources through investment to make sure we give our player every resource possible, mind, body, and spirit, to help them develop. And sometimes it's year two, and in some occasions it's even year three with some players. After that, as you mentioned, it's, you know, you're off and you're going one way or the other. But it's such a critical point in the development. You see a lot of players that come in and have a lot of success year one, and then they feel like they've got it. And I've done this before, whether it's junior high to high school to college, and then you don't got it because it's such a competitive business where the margins are narrowing every year, mm-hmm. that you got to really stay on your game and develop even your weaknesses.
Good luck with that. Thank you for spending so much time
with
us
today. Good to be here.
Head coach Sean McDermott with us. We're at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. It is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back. We are live from the Combine in Indianapolis. John Murphy and Donald Jones. Our thanks to head coach Sean McDermott for joining us and spending a lot of time with us. He touched on a lot of things, Donald, including Tyrod Taylor. They say they are not going to cut him. I guess it makes sense. And from a positional standpoint, why would you say, well, maybe we'll cut him, and then if anybody's interested in him, you just wait for the Bills to cut him?
Right.
So, it makes sense.
This is why, and you know, no disrespect to Brandon Bean or anybody, but this is why I always say this is the time of baloney around the NFL, because you never know what's really going to happen, you know, because it's really all business. At this point, it's all business. It has nothing to do with feelings or any of that stuff. People are trying to work different deals. They're talking to each other. They go and have dinner, and all of a sudden, oh, it's so-and-so over there. Let me go have a drink with them. What do you think about this player? So, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I would say if they're not going to cut him, and like I said earlier, it's because of two options. They want to keep him, or they want to trade him.
I think they want to trade him, don't you?
I would think so.
Even though they come here today and they kind of talked to, you would think, Ian Rappaport earlier in the week and made it clear that they don't plan on cutting Tyrod Taylor. But I think that in their best scenario, they get somebody to offer them a decent draft pick for Tyrod Taylor.
You know,
I just had the feeling that's what they want.
I think that they, adding another draft. These guys are all about building the team out through the draft. I mean, that's what it is. And I think right now you could probably get a fourth-round draft pick, third or fourth, somewhere in there, fifth-round draft pick for a Tyrod Taylor right now. So with that being said, yeah, you go ahead and you keep him. His contract is not unmanageable. You know, it's not a crazy number that you're talking about right there. So you could have a team that's like, okay, we need a quarterback right now, or even we need a backup quarterback right now. You know, we need a bridge quarterback right now. And so they decide to go ahead and make that trade, give the Bills something, some sort of a draft pick or something like that. And I think they truly want to build this thing out through the draft. That's why they're trying to do everything that they can to make moves, stay silent, number one, but then make moves to add more draft capital.
We got our Twitter poll up. We'd like to hear from you on that. And it deals with the Buffalo Bills and their approach to their free agents, their own. Who's the most important Buffalo Bills free agent that they need to re-sign? You can vote for it on Twitter. You can give us a call at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Pretty even vote. 38% of you right now say it is Preston Brown. 36% say Kyle Williams. 20% say E.J. Gaines. 6% have somebody else in mind. Let's hear from you. Give us a call at 803-0550 and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Wow. Brandon Bean was asked by the media if the signing of Vontae Davis indicates that they are not going to pursue, have a strong pursuit for E.J. Gaines. He denied that, but I think, again, this is the baloney season. I think to pay Davis a one-year deal, $5 million base salary, $8 million if he gets to all of his bonuses and incentives, I think that sort of is the writing's on the wall right there, I believe, for E.J. Gaines.
I think so. You know, and then Coach McDermott came out and actually said they will probably use him outside.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, Vontae Davis. And so I think that lets you know that E.J. Gaines probably won't be here unless they're saying, well, we want Vontae Davis to be the backup, and you're not paying your backup corner $5 million for 1 year. You know, I mean, even if you wanted to pay him a couple million dollars because you really want him as a backup for debt purposes, you would spread that contract out. So it's not a $5 million cap hit, right? So I just don't see them actually pursuing an E.J. Gaines at this point. It's just too much money that they want to get into or that they don't want to get into. And I think they want to now focus. Yeah, you got to add more depth there and bring back maybe a Leonard Johnson, maybe a Sharice Wright. But at the same time, focus on the front end of your defense in terms of free agency.
Another interesting thing that I kind of followed up with Coach McDermott, he said it to the media this morning. He said, we're not as far along as some people think, which, again, you view that as lowering expectation levels for this team this year. Perhaps. Maybe he wants to kind of dampen the enthusiasm and lower the expectation levels. Or maybe it's the truth. Maybe they are not as
true.
I do, too.
I think it's the truth. I mean, here's the thing. The team made it into the playoffs, and people say where they backed in. They got in the playoffs, all right? I don't care how you want to look at it, they backed in or not. But they were 9-7. And so you have to look at it and say, well, it's not like we won 11, 12 games here, 13 games. So this was a team that, yeah, you got into the playoffs, but you had seasons that were 8-8, 9-7, right around that 500 mark in the past. You just didn't end up making it into the playoffs, right? So they want to get better. And so they want to make sure that everybody understands we're not where we want to be. We're not where everybody thinks we are right now. I mean, the fact of the matter is they got a lot of free agents that probably won't be here next year. So you got a lot of holes to fill on this team. They know that, and so they want everybody to understand that. Look, this is, yeah, we had a good season. We made it into playoffs. That's not to say that we won't make it in next year, but we're just trying to let everybody know we got a long way to go before we can continuously say every year this is a playoff team or even a Super Bowl contending team.
Do you get the sense that the Bills in the playoffs, 9 wins in the playoffs last year, surprised Bean and McDermott? I do. Like,
yeah.
I don't know that going into the season in August if they foresaw that.
I don't think so.
Sammy Watkins trade August 10th. I think they were set up to make some strides forward. But making the playoffs, getting to 9 wins, getting into the playoffs with that play in the Bengals game, I think it sort of took them by surprise. I don't think they were quite ready to have that level of success in their first year.
I think I'd have to agree. I don't think that they were ready to have that level of success. I don't think that they felt like they had the talent to make it into the playoffs. Now, once again, we continuously said this is a 8-8 type of team, and I think they saw that as well. Making it into playoffs was like a bonus, but I don't know if they saw the culture changing that fast and everything starting to change that fast. And even the draft picks. Yeah, you draft these guys, but you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know Tre'Davious White is going to end up, you know, one of the top 10 corners in the league that year. I mean, these are not – you don't think – or you don't know that that Deion Dawkins is going to come in and just solidify the left side now. I mean, you drafted him because, yeah, this kid was good in college, but we don't know what's going to happen. And those guys came out and actually played very well. Even a guy like Zay Jones, I mean, coming in, he's caught so many passes. There's no way you could have went into that season and say, all right, well, he's going to have some drops this year. He's not going to be as well as everybody thinks he's. You just don't know that, right? So going into this thing, I think they felt like, yeah, we had some good draft picks, but we got a lot of work to do before we can turn this thing around. And then once they got into the season and start to see these guys flourish, then it was like, wow, okay, we got some guys that can really do something here. And Coach McDermott is the type of guy, he wants to win every game anyway, but he could really start to see some things happening, and I think that's what really shocked him.
It was tough to get an indication, I thought, from Coach McDermott as to where they are with Kyle Williams. Sounds like they've talked to Kyle at least once, you know, when the season ended, but whether or not he's ready to make his decision, I don't get the sense at all that they know which way that's going. Do you?
I don't think so. I don't think they know. I'm not sure. I'm sure Kyle probably has in his mind what he wants to do, but he's still probably weighing everything out because right now he's probably going back and forth. You know, do I want to come back? Do I not want to come back? What's the money looking like? You know, I don't know if they've had that type of conversation. And that's right. A whole nother. First, you got to get through the point of if he wants to play or not. Then you got to get into the contract stuff. You know, how much am I getting paid to come back? Is that enough for him? You know, and Kyle's a guy who's not, I don't think he's starving for money at all. He's made some money. He's played a long time in this league. But, I mean, there are a lot of different things at play. But I would think, you know, and they really haven't said that they they're kind of giving Kyle some time to make his decision, but at the same time, that decision has to come down here soon.
Yeah, I would think by, you know, the 1st of March, which is tomorrow. No, but I think in the next couple of days they needed something from Kyle before they
have
get
to know.
Free agency.
I mean, you have
free
to know.
Free agency is 2 weeks away.
It's business.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. Look, I understand, you know, we had this relationship and all of that stuff, and you want to talk to your family and all of that stuff, but at the end of the day, business is business.
Yeah.
We want to know if you are coming back or not so that we can know. Now we got to get to the contract talks. How much are you trying to get paid? How much do we have to pay you? Does it work? Does it work financially? You know, so I would think that has to happen here in the week. And maybe they'll talk to his agent this week.
Preston Brown, we talked about him at the top of the hour today, talking to McDermott, we'll have an interview coming up a little bit later on with Brandon Bean. Preston's comments to the Boston Herald opening the door to possibly playing with the Patriots.
Yeah.
I don't know that it has any effect at all on McDermott and Bean when they look at Brown's future in Buffalo, do you think?
No, not at all. I mean, they'll look at him. And they're going to look at the numbers. They're going to look at – they know how he produced for them here this year. They know what he's done in the past. The numbers definitely – I mean, you can't really complain about his numbers. You can't complain about his durability. You can't complain about him being a leader. You can't even complain about him being able to play in multiple defenses, you know. And so they're definitely not going to look at this and say, well, he might want to play for the Patriots.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
I mean, that's something that we'll talk about that the fans might not like. Everybody just has to understand this is business right now, and it's the season of business, and everybody's trying to get paid. The players are trying to get paid, and so they're trying to brand themselves in that way.
Business of the NFL down here at the Combine this week. We're going to take a break. Got time for your phone calls. When we come back, the line's open at 803-0550 and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. John Murphy, Donald Jones at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. We'll be right back after this on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the Combine in Indianapolis. John Murphy, Donald Jones. We're on Radio Row. We're not in Orchard Park today. You can probably tell that if you're watching on the video side on MSG. We'll be here today, tomorrow, and again on Friday with guests lined up all week long talking about some of the Combine prospects here. Today dealing with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. We have spoken to both of them. We had Sean McDermott's interview on a couple of minutes ago. If you missed that, it'll be up on our website momentarily. Brandon Bean coming up at 2. And Bill Polian, former Bills GM, Hall of Famer, going to stop by here live at 1 o'clock. Hey, Donald, one of the things we're talking to both McDermott and Bean about is the Bills, you know, chase for a quarterback, looking for a quarterback. And Bean said something about how you sort of have to kind of wait until you get to make your decision. We would all love an answer right now from Brandon Bean to say, hey, I'm getting this guy. This is going to be our target here at quarterback. But you don't know. The landscape changes. Today, the Bears announced that Mike Glennon will be released on March 14th in a couple of weeks when the new league year begins. Glennon was scheduled to make $12.5 million this year to back up Trubisky, and the Bears have decided to go without him.
Yeah.
So stuff changes pretty quickly. You don't. It makes sense that Brandon Bean might not want to commit himself to one course of direction on a quarterback right now.
Yeah, I mean, even you look at Matt Forte retiring today, you know, and the Jets have a high pick. They might want to take a running back with one of their high picks. I mean, you never know what's going to happen, and that's why they always say let the entire process play out. So when you talk about free agency and you look at Mike Glennon, yeah, that's big because now the Bears might say, okay, we need a backup quarterback. And who knows how teams might view a Tyrod Taylor right now. Is he a starter or is he a backup? You know, they might feel like, okay, we could get a Tyrod Taylor here in Chicago. So this is why everything changes right now, and we haven't even gotten to free agency yet.
Right.
You know, that's what the amazing thing is. We haven't even gotten there yet. The Bills themselves have already made moves that change the landscape of their own free agency, making moves before free agency even starts, at least in our opinion. I think they're not going to go after E.J. Gaines now, but who knows? Maybe they still will. But, I mean, it's going to change now so much. Maybe every day, every other day, and they're going to be talks here at the Combine. And once we get to draft day, there are going to be moves that are made in front of the Bills that might even force the Bills to feel like they have to move up to make a decision. You know what I mean? There's so many different things that will happen from now to the draft that you just don't know, and it's hard to really say what's going to happen.
The landscape changes, and it changes without warning, really. And I was impressed when we talked with Brandon Bean, and we'll hear that interview at 2 o'clock today. I was impressed at how, yes, this is his first draft. This is his first combine as general manager. The decisions being made, signing Vontae Davis, et cetera, that sort of thing. He's never been in position to do this before. But I was impressed with how he handles it. He doesn't seem overwhelmed. He doesn't seem, you know, eyes wide open, like, I can't believe the decisions I have to make. He seems like he's pretty cool about what lies ahead and what he has to do moving forward.
You know, I think he and Coach McDermott truly, and we heard this last year when both of them were hired, but first Coach McDermott, how he's been preparing for this job for a long time now.
Yeah.
And Brandon Bean, the same thing. He's been preparing for this job for a long time now. And so, yeah, these guys are not, they're not eyes wide open right now because they've been through it. They've been here in other positions. Brandon Bean's been, what, an assistant general manager? So he's right under Dave Gettleman.
He was an interim GM for a while.
Right, exactly. So he's right under the head guy or even acting as the head guy. And so, yeah, he's had to make these decisions. So he's comfortable. He's like home right now.
Well, they're going to be not just the Bills, but a number of teams have important decisions to make on quarterbacks. The Bills will be part of that. Glennon is going to be out there now as a free agent, it would seem, and maybe some others between now and March 14th when free agency opens up. So,
I can't see anybody going after Glennon.
No. Anybody? Somebody will. Somebody will pay him.
Pay him?
Well, somebody will sign him as a backup.
They're not going to pay him, but, let's just say this. I don't see the Bills going after him.
No. I don't think so.
He could be totally wrong. But, I mean, he hasn't really been able to prove anybody right. He's proved everybody wrong.
Everybody who's bet on him, he's
right. Exactly,
wrong.
He's proven wrong. Everybody else is like, man, we told you shouldn't have took him.
Yeah.
So I just don't see anybody taking him, saying, okay, we need him to be our bridge quarterback right now.
I think somebody will sign him as a backup.
As a backup,
All right, hour one in the books. Coming up in hour two, Bill Polian, Hall of Famer, former Bills GM, former Colts general manager and president, now with ESPN. Bill Polian scheduled to join us live when we come back for hour number two. We're coming to you live from the NFL Scouting Combine, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update comes from from the NFL Scouting Combine, where Bills coach Sean McDermott and GM Brandon Bean met the media here today. They get to work evaluating prospects as the week moves along. McDermott said the Bills are, quote, not as far as some people think. And he talked about the moves the Bills have to make this offseason. One move they will not make, according to McDermott, is to cut quarterback Tyrod Taylor. Both McDermott and Bean say they do not think that is in the cards. The Chicago Bears will release quarterback Mike Glennon once the new league year begins in a couple of weeks. That, according to Bears GM Ryan Pace. Pace also announced the team plans to release linebacker Willie Young, which will officially occur later today. The move's the latest in an offseason purge of veterans by the Chicago Bears. Linebacker Ryan Shazier will not play next season as he recovers from a spinal injury. Steelers GM Kevin Colbert said today at the Combine, Shazier will not play. He knows that. We know that. We're going to continue to support his recovery. And Matt Forte is moving on to the next chapter. The Jets running back announced his retirement from football today. Played for 10 years, the first 8 seasons of his career with the Bears, where he built a reputation as a workhorse running back. He spent the last 2 years with the New York Jets and then had some injuries in the last couple of years. Sabres start a two-game road trip against the first-place Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. 7 o'clock faceoff tonight. Kyle Okposo missed practice yesterday to be with his wife as she went into labor. In his absence, Seth Griffith was recalled from Rochester and joined the team for the trip to Tampa. Sam Reinhart, 20 points in his last 19 games, goes into tonight's game on a four-game point streak, his longest streak since he tallied points in a career-best five straight games in December of 2016. And that is the update from the NFL Scouting Combine. John Murphy and Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio here at the NFL Scouting Combine. Basically, we're on Radio Row here.
Radio Row.
What do you think?
I mean, it's
similar to last year.
Yeah, it's similar but different. It's like the same difference. It's the same thing because it's Radio Row, but we're in a different spot here. We're on the other side of the room, really.
Yeah.
The other side of the weight, I guess, competition. But when they do their whole weightlifting, which you'll see on TV, I guess, later in the week, we're on the other side of that, and they moved us. I like the other side better.
Do you? Why?
I don't know. You know why? I know why. I like the other side better because the podiums and everything were over there.
Yeah,
it's kind of they separated us from everybody.
Yeah, we could see more what was going on
over
there. We're going to get Bill Polian. He is over at the ESPN set. He's going to schedule to join us here in a couple of minutes. We'll talk with the former Bills and Colts general manager in a couple of minutes here on the show. In the meantime, Bills general manager Brandon Bean will join us at 2 o'clock. We had a chance to talk with him earlier in the day. Donald and I here until 3 today, and the phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can join us on Twitter. Maybe you want to weigh in on our Twitter poll, and you might have a response to this question. The Bills now, things have changed a little bit with the signing of Vontae Davis, haven't they? I think they have. Things have changed now with the Bills and what their offseason priorities are. We want to know from you, of the free agents the Bills have on their roster right now, who's the most important free agent for them to re-sign? Love to hear your voice. If you want to phone in, 803-0550 is the number, or from outside Buffalo toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. Maybe you want to vote in our Twitter poll. Right now, 38% of you say linebacker Preston Brown is their most critical free agent to re-sign. 36% say Kyle Williams. 20% say E.J. Gaines. 6% have somebody else in mind. My vote would go to Preston Brown, but let's hear from you. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Did you ever say you would say Preston Brown is the most critical free agent now?
I would say Preston is the most critical free agent. I think Preston, and I know we've questioned the fit, and that's based on Coach McDermott, his history with Luke Kuechly. He always talks about Luke Kuechly and how big he was or how important he was
talked
to that defense.
Talked about him today?
Yeah, he did. Talked about him today.
Would you ask him who's your most favorite interview you did at the combine?
Yeah, your favorite interview at the combine where you're like, man, I like that dude. I really like that dude. And Luke Kuechly was that guy. So it just goes to show how big the interview process is here at the combine, you know, and Luke Kuechly must have killed it. And he showed him how smart he was. And I think Preston, and we've had Lorenzo on the show talk about how Preston is on that uptick to Luke Kuechly in terms of how smart he is. Preston is a guy who has been very, very durable for this team. And that is number one for any team. Can you be on the field when the team needs you to be on the field? And that's every Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's been there.
That. He's done that.
He's done that. He's played in multiple defenses. This guy has been a guy who has been in the top of the league in tackles in multiple years. This year, number one. Last year, he was up there in top 10 at least. So he's making plays. He's slimmed down so that he can go sideline to sideline. I think he's number one priority for this team.
Let's get another question on this. We're joined now in our broadcast location by ESPN's very own Bill Polian, former Bills general manager, Colts president and general manager, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Bill Polian is with us. Hi, Bill. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Murph.
You know Donald? You and Donald?
Yeah,
I do. Surely.
Yeah.
Donald was reminiscing about your appearance with us last year when you came on our show and said, Sean McDermott reminds me of Marv Levy.
Yeah,
that stopped the show.
Yeah.
And it kind of worked out that way.
It was like mic drop.
Sort of worked out that way.
It kind of did. Yeah, it kind of did. You know, I've talked to Sean a couple of times about a conversation you and I had last November. The Bills had lost three in a row. McDermott had switched out quarterbacks and then was going back to Tyrod Taylor for the game at Kansas City. You were at Kansas City getting ready to do the game on the radio. I was down the hall. We had a cup of coffee before, and you assured me, chill out. Things are going to be okay. How did you know back then that things would be okay?
I could just tell the way he'd prepared his team from week to week, how he conducted himself after the games, why he made the move. It was you know, when you put all that information together, you recognize what the plan looks like and how it's being carried out. And I was confident that it would turn around. And one thing that you got to add there that I forgot was how the team plays for him when things are going badly. Mm-hmm. As you know, when a team's still playing hard, it'll turn around.
They started that day and won four of their final six regular season games, two losses to the Patriots. That said a lot about who that team was and the job that Sean had done.
Well, it did, and actually he did a phenomenal job that day managing the game. They should not have won that game. They were not the better team, but he managed the game perfectly and put them in a position to win. And that is a rare, in this day and age in the NFL, that's a rare skill for a head coach. If you don't believe me, go back to the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
What did you see in that game that impressed you?
He made all the right decisions in terms of playing field position in the fourth quarter, creating the kicking situation where they pinned Kansas City back and made them go the long way that resulted in the interception. The choice of defensive calls in that series. When you close the other team out on the road against Andy Reid, you're really doing something.
Is there a fine line of smart decisions versus conservative versus going for things and really having some guts to really go for different things?
No, I don't think so. I think that the best coaches assess the situation. They assess the personnel and the matchups they're facing. They assess the game situation, and then they go ahead and make the call, given all of that input. You measure that with metrics after the fact. Mm-hmm. You measure it in the media after the fact. And to quote Marv, I've never forgotten this, if what you did didn't work, you should have done the other thing.
Right.
Tongue planted firmly in his cheek when he said it. And so all of that input goes into the decision making, and that's why only the head coach can make it, and only he knows what the situation is. I'll refer you back to something that happened in this building. I've lost track of the years, so yeah. I can't remember exactly what year it was, but it may have been six, which was the year that we won the Super mm-hmm. Bowl. We were playing New England in this building in the regular season on Sunday night. We were behind with less than 2 minutes to go in the game. Mm-hmm. And we had the Patriots backed up in their own end, fourth and two, I think, or fourth and one and a half. Bill Belichick elected to go for it. And the football world was stunned. And I explained after the game on radio here in Indianapolis, here's why. He was out of rushers. He had no more rushers.
Right.
They were all injured. His team was gassed. The game had been a track meet from start to finish. We were going to get the ball last if he punted. And he said, in one of the few times where, you know, he gives you any insight into his decision-making, he said, I did not want to turn the ball over to Peyton Manning at the end of the game.
You know, I always –
regardless of where on the field.
Yeah, right. Now, I always go back and forth on this, and there are a lot of teams using a lot of different analytics and different companies, tools, whatever you want to say. In today's game, and some people, I would say, I guess because I was a former player, I mean, coaches go off of a lot of different things, and analytics is one of it, but it's really the feel for the game. And that's what it sounds like you're saying Bill did that day.
Well, feel for the game, you have to define feel for the game. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of catchphrases out there that people use, and they can't define them. Feel for the game was all the things that I enumerated for you.
Right.
And some of that is metrics, but metrics when it comes to going for it on third and one or fourth and one or fourth and goal or whatever play call you make is meaningless because metrics measure a long period of time. They don't measure that moment in time when Bill Belichick had no rushers left,
right,
where he didn't think he could sack Peyton Manning, whether Peyton Manning got the ball on his own 37 or he got it on the Patriots 27.
Right.
It didn't matter. He didn't have anybody to rush him. So, and his back end wasn't playing well. So metrics don't enter that discussion. That moment in time, his analysis of what his team is and what the matchups are, that's what causes you to make the decisions. That's mm-hmm. the definition of that moment in time.
Bill Polian, our guest here at the Scouting Combine in Indy. Bill, the Bills have hired a new analytics guy, Luis Guillamo. if you were in the game, if you had a team you were running, how would you use an analytics guy? How would you? What would you want them to do? What would you want them to look at in a football sense?
Well, first of all, I'd want them to do what I wanted them to do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be interested in very much unless I don't know if this gentleman has a football background. If he had a football background, I probably would listen to suggestions. But in the first instance, other than that, I would want him to do what I felt was important. And I think the one area where analytics can help us, and we haven't even scratched the surface, is in injury prevention and injury analysis based on players that we may hire, players that we have on our own team, longevity, things of that nature.
Right.
We're facing free agency now. Longevity in terms of value for the money you pay, both in dead money and ROI, is an important function. And I don't know of any metrics that have measured that. I mean, I know some, but mm-hmm. they haven't been done by these so-called statisticians or analytics people. That's big data. It's all there. We have it as far back as you want to go, and they can delve into it and figure out what the odds are of a player with this particular injury to this particular body part at this particular position at this particular age can do, and what his long-term prognosis is. That would be of great help. It's called, by the way, epidemiology.
Right. Yeah.
But we don't do that, so far as I know. We're more focused on whether or not you should call a run or a pass on fourth and goal.
Yeah, people want to know if you should punt or not.
Correct.
Would you let an analytics guy get involved in that?
No.
Or not at all?
I've been a data guy my whole career, dating back to Buffalo mm-hmm. when we were one of the first people to use intelligence testing. I'm not a Luddite by any means, some people like to, you know, I don't even know if I can define Luddite. People have called me worse, I guess. But the bottom line is that I do like data, but it has to be meaningful data.
Right.
I'm not interested in reinventing the wheel. We got a lot of smart people in every building in the National Football League who know football well, and there are questions that you ask, just as I outlined here on the medical side.
Sure.
Those are critical.
Do you think that the data and the analytics is just getting too big now in football?
I don't think it's getting too big. I think people know how to manage it, and they know what they want from it. It's big on the outside. It's big on the outside. And it's a bit, frankly, it's a pain in the neck. I mean,
yeah.
why should a coach have to answer for what some guy at Indiana University decides he should do on fourth down based on 20 years of data? It doesn't apply.
Mm-hmm. Bill Polian is with us, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, former Bills general manager, now with ESPN. This year, this combine, really including free agency, very interesting quarterback landscape with some big names in free agency and some highly regarded prospects in the drafted quarterback. Have you ever seen a year like this where there's this many options for quarterback needy teams?
Well, there's a lot of options, but I just finished doing by hand a metric that you'll be interested in. Since 2007, there have been 114 quarterbacks drafted. 24 have made it.
Hmm. Wow. That's 20%.
How's that for
That's
analytics?
20%. Yeah. Made it in terms of become
starting
starters.
Quarterbacks.
Okay.
Yes.
Since 2007.
Yeah.
That's less than 20%.
Yes, that's right.
And yet teams, there's going to be at least four, maybe more, going in the first round
you
in
bet.
A couple of months.
Yep.
What does that mean? What are we doing?
Well, it means that people overdraft quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They convince themselves that quarterbacks can play who really can't.
Right.
If I had the data in front of me, I could give you some names. It's a rogues gallery of guys who didn't make it.
We'd know the names, too.
You
yeah,
would know
right?
the
yeah,
names.
Exactly.
Yes, you would.
Well, how many of these guys would you say deserve to be in the first round? Or the true first rounders where you can see this guy has the tools to be a franchise quarterback?
In 32 picks. Well, I've told John this before. Let me delve a little deeper into the data. Mm-hmm. In any given year, there are 20 or so players with first-round grades. So if you want to say how many of these would be in the top 20,
okay.
Two.
Gotcha.
If you want to say how many in the top 32 because teams are quarterback needy,
mm-hmm.
all four.
Okay.
Probably.
The two are Rosen and Darnell?
Yeah.
Okay. And the other two would be
Allen would be a little bit – he'd be right on the borderline of the top 20.
Allen. What about Mayfield?
No, not in the top 20 because of the size.
Because of the size.
Yeah.
Who's
the
your fourth?
Really it's where the metrics come in.
Who's your fourth?
Your fourth.
Mayfield.
Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. So okay. Not in the top 20.
Yeah.
You made news a week ago. A lot of people took notice of what you had to say about the Louisville quarterback. Can you tell us what you had in mind there? And do you really think he's better suited in the NFL at a non-quarterback position?
Look, first of all, I don't want to go into it anymore because I was astounded at the reaction.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And frankly, I'm puzzled by it. I'm a personnel person. I've done it my whole life. I have an opinion. It doesn't mean it's right. Mm-hmm. It's one man's opinion. And to attach sociology to it, I think is flat wrong, but it happened. And so, you know, I said what I said. It's on the record. I don't think I need to get into it anymore.
He is not a legitimate first-round quarterback prospect, you don't think?
I don't want to go near it.
Okay. Now, what about Josh Allen? Josh Allen's a guy who's big, physical. He's also off the mark. Can you teach accuracy in this league?
That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that. When I first came here, I got to know and very friendly with Carl Erskine, who was a great pitcher for the Brooklyn Dodgers mm-hmm. in the 50s and 60s. And he was a product of Branch Rickey, who was the most forward-thinking general manager, maybe in all of sports, but certainly in baseball at mm-hmm. the time. And Rickey was an expert, having been a catcher, was an expert on pitching. And I said to him, you know, you came up through Rickey's system. Do you think you can teach control, which is, after all, accuracy?
Right.
He said, you can improve it. If a player doesn't have it, I don't think you can teach it. Hmm. So the question with Josh is, he's just kind of on the borderline. No player who in the modern era, where 60% is the benchmark for completion percentages,
right.
Less than that has done well in the league. You know, who was less than that at the college level
right.
has done well in the league. But he's right on the borderline, and he showed improvement in the Senior Bowl in both touch and accuracy and played well in the game,
right.
Which means a lot, by the way. So I think there's reason to believe that he could make it, and I could easily see him as the 15th player in the draft. You know, with no problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
12th player in the draft, which open. You know, now let's start right from the top. Quarterback position is overdrafted.
Mm-hmm.
But if you said to me, who are the two players in the draft that you could three actually, or at the top of your head that have no red flags? Saquon Barkley.
Oh yeah.
Quentin Nelson, and Minkah Fitzpatrick. Mm. Now put the quarterbacks in after that. But that's not the way it's going to happen.
Right.
Hey, Bill, fans who watch the combine this week when the quarterbacks throw on Saturday, what should they look for? What is meaningful that you would get out of those quarterback workouts?
Nothing.
No reason to watch?
No reason to watch.
Come on.
Now, if a guy comes out here and he's totally inaccurate, is that a red flag?
No. Here's the reason to watch. The fans and the coaches, frankly, don't know what we personnel people know. They haven't seen those guys in person. So if you haven't seen Jimmy Garoppolo and you don't know who he is because he played at Eastern Illinois and he was only on television maybe twice in his college career, then you'll be excited to see Jimmy Garoppolo throw
right.
or someone like him. Lauletta, for example, mm-hmm. from Richmond. If you did not watch the Senior Bowl practices or the game, you didn't see much of him. You
right.
haven't seen anything of him at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the interesting part. As far as making a judgment based on Josh Rosen or Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield on how they throw here, that is absolutely incorrect. There's no basis to do that.
Bill Polian is our guest. A couple of more questions for you, Bill, and this deals with free agent quarterbacks. Cousins sits at the top of the list, I guess. He belongs there, right, in terms of the free
Well,
agents?
In this crop, yeah.
Is
he the second coming of Jim Kelly? I don't think so.
No. But somebody will pay him and
yes.
expect him to be the second coming of Jim Kelly.
Well, that's unfortunate for him and for the people that pay him.
You know, where do you think he ends up?
I don't know. Have no idea.
So, all right.
No idea.
Another guy in this one. A.J. McCarron, who's very interesting as he came available late. Where will he end up, but how much will he get paid?
I don't know. It depends, I guess, on what Cousins gets paid.
I mean, he hasn't.
The market is
predict.
The market is fluid.
Yeah,
the market
it is fluid.
It's a market, yeah. So it's fluid. You can't predict anything.
Last question I have for you, and this deals with quarterbacks in the Bills situation. Both McDermott and Brandon Bean said today they will not cut Tyrod Taylor. So what do you think the right course of action is for the Buffalo Bills to move forward at quarterback?
Well, I think, you know, you're always looking for the next Jim Kelly. Who is he? Where is he? How can you get him? That's the question.
Right.
So it's draft.
Possibly, yeah.
Well, there's no free agents.
There's no free agent. Right. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Bill.
Can I go back to work?
You
got
to go to work. I know. Thanks. Bill Polian, Hall of Famer. Former Bills GM, former Colts GM, joining us here. We're coming to you live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. John Murphy and Donald Jones. Back with more, including your phone calls, right after this. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the NFL Scouting Combine and our Radio Row setup. John Murphy, Donald Jones, joined by our old buddy Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Hi, Chris. How you doing? You've been running around all day so far
today.
Doing
okay. It's been busy, yeah. A lot of Bills stuff going on today with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott making themselves available to you guys, to the media in general as well. And, you know, I think there was some interesting stuff that was unearthed today by both gentlemen.
Let's talk about some of that. They unearthed the fact that, and I think we knew this, but based on the report from Rappaport earlier this week, but they did say pretty definitively they are not interested in cutting Tyrod Taylor.
Right, and I actually talked to Ian Rappaport way back in late January at the Senior Bowl about that very topic, and even then he was intimating that he thought Taylor would stay on the roster. The $6 million roster bonus was not so terribly cost prohibitive that it would force their hand prematurely, and he thought even then that he's likely to stay on the roster. I think what that does is it buys the Bills time. I mean, it's clear that the quarterback picture is unclear in terms of the free agent QBs that are going to be out there. I still don't believe there's a decision yet on Teddy Bridgewater in terms of whether he is a free agent or not. And that's another element that gets thrown into the mix there. Is that a player that teams are going to be interested in with his injury history? Obviously, almost a career-ending injury that he had. Well, what, it's going to be 2 years in the rearview mirror now come August. And so that's another element at play, and you don't know who might become a roster casualty if some team breaks the bank and signs one of the other quarterbacks that are available. Maybe another one's cut loose.
Right.
Maybe there is an offer that the Eagles get for Nick Foles that they can't refuse, and they part with him. And now how does that change their quarterback dynamic? So I think there's a lot of moving parts here in the free agent quarterback market, and I asked him specifically. I asked Brandon in a one-on-one interview that I had the opportunity to talk to him in, and we'll see it on the Bills website a little bit later today. I said, have you ruled out the quarterback market as a consideration, knowing it's probably going to be a seller's market? The quarterbacks are going to be holding all the cards here, knowing how many teams are desperate for quarterback talent. Is that going to price the Bills out of the market? And he said, we cannot rule it out as a consideration. We'd be doing ourselves a disservice if we did that. So it sounds like everything is on the table in terms of upgrading the quarterback position potentially. Obviously, that's what you want to do every year. The reality is, what's going to be the competition level for talent on the free agent market? Where is that going to drive the price? And then, how realistic is it to upgrade the position in the draft based on where you sit at 21 and 22, albeit with draft capital?
With so many quarterbacks that are going to be available in free agency and in so many draft picks in terms of the quarterback play, does that, and getting back to free agency, does that, in your opinion, change the market for everybody else? And I know teams have different cap situations, mm-hmm. but with so many quarterback needy teams that want to or will probably have to break the bank to get one of these guys, how does that change the market for everybody else?
For other positions?
Yeah.
Well, obviously for the teams that are going to spend big, it's going to curtail their spending on other positions. But if you just believe you're a quarterback away, like probably the Minnesota Vikings do, how far are they willing to go to pay a Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
Are they going to outbid the Jets, who have, you know, like $90+ million in cap space?
Right.
Are they going to outspend
maybe some more now?
You know, a couple other teams that might be, well, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, you know, who have money to spend? I don't know. We'll have to see. And that's why, you know, as your previous guest, Bill Polian, just stated, you can't predict the free agent market. It's a moving, breathing thing that changes its complexion daily, in some cases hourly, yeah, based on how certain negotiations are going with certain teams and player agents. So that's what makes it so compelling, though, because you're not used to seeing a talent the level of Kirk Cousins on the market. You've got a team in the Minnesota Vikings who have three quarterbacks that could be entering free agency simultaneously. I mean, that is an insane concept that 10 years ago you would have never even thought of as a remote possibility, mm-hmm, especially for a team that went to the NFC title game.
Yeah.
To have that kind of upheaval at the most important position on the field,
right,
it's got to be unprecedented. So there are some unique circumstances that are already thrown into a market that you already can't predict. So I think we're going to see some groundbreaking stuff come mid-March.
Chris Brown is with us, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Tyrod Taylor's situation, and I ask, we're going to have the interview with Brandon Bean coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, Chris, but I said this to Brandon Bean. You know, Donald and I over the last month or so have pretty much said, look, you benched Tyrod Taylor last November 19th. Mm-hmm. That to me, is the clearest indication of how they feel about him. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense that Tyrod Taylor would be on this roster, right, when the season begins. It just doesn't. If that happens, I think I'd be stunned. I know it's not ruled out yet,
right?
And they're not going to cut him. I get that. They want to trade him. They're ready to move on.
I think they want to be convinced they can do better though first, and they don't have that answer right now.
Right.
Based on what's the market going to be like in free agency? Who can we realistically acquire there? And, I mean, perfect example is a guy, like I already mentioned, like Bridgewater. Is that guy even going to be available? Nobody even knows. He, yeah, might have another year to serve on his contract. Right. That guy might not even be in the pool. But then if the Minnesota Vikings sign Kirk Cousins, now are they willing to trade Bridgewater? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's so many different ways that things can turn. I keep mentioning Minnesota just because they got three quarterbacks that are – it's just, yeah, – it's crazy to think about how Rick Spielman's going to play that thing. You know, when we get to mid-March and who he's going to be on the phone with and who he might be cutting loose, who he's moving on from. But, yeah, I know what you're saying, Murph. Logically, you say they're probably going to want to move on from Tyrod Taylor. There's just no way they can address that subject with that specificity now, because would they like to upgrade quarterback? Absolutely. Are they convinced they're going to be able to do it? Based on what's in free agency, how much it's going to cost, where they can move on the draft board, can they get up to the top to get a candidate they want? These are all unanswered questions that they're not going to be able to answer until they get to that point in the NFL calendar. So because of that, you're paying Tyrod Taylor his $6 million roster bonus, and you're hanging on to him until you're convinced you can do better. I mean, it's almost the same boat they were in last year when you think about it.
That is a tough situation to be in, because – you know they want to get better in passing, at least.
You can't be 31st in passing.
Right, right.
You can't.
I mean, and you're still going to have a good runner. He's a big part of the running game. I understand that. But you know they want to get better in passing. But you do have to ask yourself, okay, who is that guy that can make us that much better in passing? And obviously there are quarterbacks in free agency that you could say, well, he's going to be able to throw the ball a little bit better than Tyrod Taylor. But ultimately, does he make your team better?
Yeah. And it may not even be, can he make our team better right now?
Right.
I mean, if you're drafting one of those guys at the top of the draft, long term, they might be better than Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
Year one, as a rookie, you don't know, but you might be looking long term with that type of an acquisition in the draft. Like, let's say we get through free agency, Bills are unable to acquire anybody that they may have had their eye on. Now we're entering the draft process.
Right.
Tyrod's still on your roster. How aggressive do you want to be in free agent in the draft to maybe get up to where you feel you need to be to get your favorite quarterback in the pool? And because if you're doing that, you're convinced that guy is your long-term answer, number one. And number two, you're convinced that maybe not in 2018, but come 2019, this guy can be better in the passing game than what Tyrod Taylor has given you in terms of production and playmaking ability. There's so many unknowns out there. There is no way for them to definitively say, and let's think about political correctness, too, here, guys. I mean, you're not going to come up to the podium today after this guy took you to the playoffs. Was instrumental, and they said it, instrumental in helping them get to the playoffs, and he was. Tyrod had his flaws. I'm not debating that for a moment, but he also did some pretty darn good things to help get this team to the postseason.
If they pick up that option, what's on the cards in terms of guaranteed money and years that he still has left in?
Well, obviously
contract?
The $6 million goes right in his pocket. Mm-hmm. So that's bang. Thanks for coming. Nice job. Here you go.
Right.
And then you got $10 million left on the last year of his contract. So that'll get played out based on whether he's on this roster or based on whether he's on another roster and they inherit the $10 million contract that remains on his last year of salary. So that's essentially what you're looking at here, you know, going into 2018. And, you know, the Bills cap situation's a moving number. I asked Brandon, how flexible are you? We have some flexibility. Some of the decisions we made last year, moving Darius off the roster, trading Watkins. You know, Darby was still on his rookie contract. Not a big change there. But they made some moves to kind of help them now at least fill out the roster. I don't think this is a team that's going to be making giant splashes in free agency unless there's some affordable quarterback option.
Right.
They're looking for value signings here. I mean, I think the last couple of visits here are indication of that. Vontae Davis, what is he signed for? 1 year, $5 million. There's only $3.5 million guaranteed in the deal. This is a guy that's going to help them on the field right now and give them buy them time to continue to build the roster through the draft.
Now, you have to imagine if Tyrod Taylor is on the roster next year and he's your guy, and whether you sit there and draft one at 21, 22, or you trade up, and especially if you trade up to get one early, and not that they really care or listen to the fans and what everybody's saying in the media, but as soon as Tyrod Taylor has an average game, I mean, it's going to get ugly in terms of want that rookie to play.
Hold on a second. Now you're assuming that Tyrod's on the roster. You know, I mean, a trade could happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen between the opening of free agency and the draft. It could happen draft weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's the possibility even after the draft, depending on what they think, hypothetically, they get the quarterback that they had targeted all along. They feel pretty good about that guy. Maybe he's in a competition with Nathan Peterman. Mm. And they're still looking for ways, you know, to move Tyrod at that point. I think there's a whole host of options. I think ideally, if it is in fact their plan to move him off the roster, you want it done at the latest draft weekend. At the latest. Beyond that, it gets really sticky and awkward, uncomfortable, and that's where it gets dicey. So there's a short window here in terms of the ideal time to move him. Because other teams are looking for answers at that position also. Once you get past the draft, most people are solving their problems at that position.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, I don't want to talk about just quarterbacks, but once you get to the draft, you know, the Bills have to make their move, and there are like a half a dozen other teams that are involved in pretty important quarterback decisions over the next 2 months. There's going to be like a chain reaction.
I think Kirk Cousins is the first domino.
Yeah.
Who wins the bidding war for Kirk Cousins? Who's willing to pay? And then the teams that are left on the outside looking in, you've got to believe those are the first phone calls that Brandon Bean's making if he wants to move Tyrod off the roster.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com with us a couple more minutes. It's not just quarterback talk, and Bean and McDermott talked to the media today. Vontae Davis, they've already made a free agent signing.
Mm-hmm.
Bean in particular made a point of talking to the media about how that doesn't necessarily mean Davis signing doesn't necessarily mean they are – out of the running to keep EJ Gaines on the roster. I don't believe that. I got to say, I don't think that was the plan.
I think it might be a little bit of political gamesmanship here. I think in an ideal world, they'd love to have EJ Gaines back on the roster.
He's going to make $9 million a year.
EJ Gaines is going to make way too much money for the Bills to stomach in terms of their salary cap situation. He's going to get somewhere between 8 and 10 a year, even with his injury history.
Yeah.
And that's going to be too rich for the Bills' blood, I think, quite frankly. And I think Brandon Bean, somewhere in the back of his mind, probably knows that. He's been in this league too long to know how the market works. So I don't think he's resigned himself to that fate, but I think he's fully preparing himself for that to unfold in that fashion. And, you know, you still have Leonard Johnson out there, who was a capable slot corner for them. The interesting comment that I heard Brandon Bean make after his general interview with the media was E.J. Gaines also can play slot, which I found very interesting. And I'm thinking, oh, boy,
yeah,
that would be a heck of a top three. You got E.J. Gaines in the slot, Vontae Davis and Trey White outside. That's a pretty good top three right there, but I don't see E.J. Gaines doing that because he knows I'm making my money outside. I'm going out there. I'm going on the market. I'm going to get my 8 to 10 per. And, you know, it's been nice in Buffalo, but
yeah,
I got to go get my money.
Now, I mean, we've been talking so much about quarterback, so much about cornerback. We've even talked about linebacker with Preston Brown. I'm sure we're going to get into that. Matter of fact, let's get into that. What's the priority now that you've signed Vontae Davis? Don't know if you're going to get in the running with E.J. Gaines, but to sign Preston Brown.
Again, I think it could be a cost situation because all Preston Brown needs is one team that's ready to pay him big money. I don't think that's New England, despite the clever posturing by Preston and his agent, who's also his mom.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were throwing a test balloon out there just to kind of see if we can drive the price up a little bit.
Yeah,
and that's typical. They're not the first people to do that as a player is headed towards free agency. I think he would like to get upwards of $7 million a year. I don't think the Bills are going to come close to paying that kind of money. Would they like to have Preston Brown back? I think at the right price they would. I'm not convinced their price is the same price that Preston Brown has in mind. Now, the good thing for the Bills is this year's draft class, probably the two deepest positions on the defensive side of the ball are defensive tackle and linebacker. Not necessarily Mike linebacker, but I think there are enough prospects at that position that are plug-and-play type players that provided they check all the boxes in the football IQ department, and that's what, you know, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott will be pumping guys for information in those 15-minute interviews, you can capably fill that role, I think. But you're going to have to draft that guy on day one or early day two if that's the route you're going to take here.
Another position that I think we haven't really talked about, which is a very important position and which the Bills really haven't solidified over the last couple of years, is the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
And even Jordan Matthews as a free agent, is he important to bring back? And then where do they go with that in the draft?
Number one, he had a shoulder surgery and a knee surgery. So he would have to check out physically, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I don't think Jordan Matthews wants to be back in Buffalo unless the quarterback position is completely resolved and unless he knows that the team's going to throw the ball 45, 50 times a game.
Where do you get that from? Why do you say that?
What is he as a receiver?
No, but did he say that? Or?
He didn't say that, but that is my educated guess, and this is why. What is he at the end of the day? He's a possession receiver, right?
Yeah. He wants to catch.
What did he have, 25 80. Catches this year? He's not going to maximize his value. He's not going to maximize his value playing in Buffalo.
Right.
Well,
he's just
part
not.
Of it is there are others who fill that role now.
Well, and that's besides the point.
Well,
just talking,
I think that is why he's just not as valuable.
It doesn't matter, though, because he's more interested in maximizing his value. Where is he going to do that? He's going to do that in a high-volume passing attack where he can catch 75 to 80 balls a season.
Mm-hmm.
He could have done that in Philadelphia. It was out of his hands. He gets traded.
Right.
What other avenues are there for him to take where he can maximize his value? Because what he needs to do right now, he's coming off two off-season surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to sign a one-year prove-it deal and play in a high-volume passing attack, maximize his value, 80 catches, 900 yards, 6 touchdowns, and then make his money with a long-term contract after that. So he's got to go somewhere like New Orleans, Atlanta, back to Philadelphia. I don't know, probably not. He's got to go into one of those high passing attacks because if he doesn't go there, it's going to be very hard for him to make good money with a contract. He's got to take a one-year prove-it deal this year in a high-volume passing attack, hope he racks up some major stats, and then get signed a longer-term deal for bigger money next year.
Chris, there were a couple of questions to both McDermott and Bean today about the new analytics hire, Luis Guillamo. McDermott made it pretty plain that he's using him for football. What do you think exactly he'll be charged to do? What do you think they're going to have him do?
I think his focus, at least early on, will be on personnel and, you know, finding the empirical formulas, numerical values for the best fits for what they need on defense, what they need on offense with Brian Daboll, the new OC. And then as we get closer to training camp and that kind of stuff, I could see it morphing more into the game management type decisions. There was a system in Philadelphia that worked exceptionally well for them. They use Edge Analytics as one of their direct partners. And what they had was a system there where they had, because you can't use computers during games
right.
to help you make decisions. That is illegal in the NFL. They had three men dedicated to hand producing things as the game unfolded to help the coaching staff decide what to do. I mean, they had a red light, yellow light, green light system. Green light, yes, do this. Go for it on 4th and 2 in this situation with this score and this time left on the clock. Green light. They had a yellow light, your call. It's pretty close to 50-50 here. If you want to do this, it's up to you. And they had red light. Don't do it here.
Yeah.
Not the time. Score on the board, time left in the game, where you're on the field, don't do it. I think there are some game management elements that Guillaume will be looking at also.
Hmm. Chris, thanks for this. I know you got a lot of work. What's coming up on the website?
Well, we've got some quick hits based on some of the comments that Coach McDermott had with the media. We've got another installment of that coming up here shortly based on what Brandon Bean said. And we also have some one-on-one videos with both Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott with a couple of topics that you guys didn't cover here on the show and the media didn't cover in general.
Uh-oh.
So we tried to take...
We missed something.
We tried to take... Well, my job is to find some of the stuff that falls through the cracks. We don't want it to play the same as your guys' interview. We've got to be... You guys, your stuff is great, but my stuff's got to be different from what you're getting here. So we're trying to cover all the bases and leave no stone unturned. And we feel we did that. So those will be up this afternoon on the site. And we'll also have the update on Kyle Williams and where things stand there and the timetable involved. So that'll be up late this afternoon.
What do you know about that?
In terms of where things sit. Well, we're kind of basically going off of what, you know, Brandon Bean told us and what Sean McDermott told us. I think the ball is firmly in Kyle's court. I mean, they made it clear they want him back. If he wants to play, they want him back. So the ball now sits in Kyle Williams' court. Do you want to keep playing?
But they need an answer in the next week or so.
Right, it's business, right? I mean, they have to.
Don't they need an answer in the next week?
There's money and cap situation.
They need to know in the next 10 to 12 days.
Yeah.
All right. We'll look for that on the website.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris. We'll get back to you later
in the week. We'll try to find something that you missed.
Yeah.
We're all on the same team, so we might as well cover all the bases, right? Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third. Let's do it.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com. Donald and I back with more in a moment from the Combine, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back, John Murphy. Donald Jones from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Our thanks to Chris Brown for joining us. Hey, we've got open phone lines if you have a comment or a question. 803-0550 is the number to call. From outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about what you've heard today. This past hour, we had Bill Polian. We've had Chris Brown a moment ago. And there's news coming out, too, from the Combine, or not necessarily from the Combine, but the Jets have parted ways with Muhammad Wilkerson, Donald. You know, it's kind of a need position for the Bills, but Wilkerson is a ton of baggage.
Yeah.
And will require a lot of money.
Yeah, it's going to require a lot of money. I wonder what that does, like, in terms of dead money for the Jets out there. He had a huge contract, like a Marcell Dareus type of contract out there for the Jets. And I personally know him, know his family, all of that stuff. Played against him in high school, so it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. He does a lot in the community in New Jersey, but he has to be able to keep it together up top, you know. And
what
mentally,
do you mean?
I mean, there were so many reports of him being late to meetings and missing the bus and just different things like that. You can't do things like that. And Todd Bowles has a more of a military background type of guy. From what I hear, and he's from New Jersey as well, and so he's not going to take different things like that. You know, he wants guys on the team that want to be there every day and guys that are going to work hard, just like Coach McDermott. You know, so with that being said, it's like it doesn't shock me that they decided to move on from him. I just think there was too much in the locker room, off the field stuff that they were just done with.
Wilkerson was guaranteed $16.75 million if he was on the roster March 16th. and the Jets were not interested in that. So it pretty much made sense that they were going to get rid of him. You just didn't know when. Hard to imagine anybody's going to pay him $16 million, right?
Nah, he's not going to get $16 million. He might get – he's still a good player, you know, and you really have to have some conviction that he's going to change his attitude and change all that stuff. And if you do, I could see somebody giving him 10, you know, 11, something like that. And to be honest, that's high, but to be honest, because of his talent level, they're going to say, okay, we'll put you on a one-year deal for this amount of money or a two-year just deal just to spread that out, and you'll make this amount of money, 10 million or something like that. And he really has to prove that he can keep it together mentally off the field.
Hey, if you just joined us, we've already had a nice sit-down conversation with Sean McDermott. That'll be up on our website soon. Coming up in just a minute, we will be sitting down here with the Bills general manager, Brandon Bean. We had Bill Polian on earlier this hour. Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com joined us. You're welcome to join us as well. Give us a call. The phone line's open, 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free at 1-888-552-550. Maybe you want to weigh in excuse me, on our question of the day. Who's the most important Bills free agent, the most important guy they need to re-sign? It's a pretty close vote on Twitter anyway. On our Twitter poll, 38% of you say Preston Brown is the most important, 36% say Kyle Williams, 20% say E.J. Gaines, 6% have somebody else in mind. Give us a call. We'll open up some phone lines and get into that in the third and final hour of the show. Brandon Bean, Bills general manager, standing by to join us when we return. It is the John Murphy Show coming to you live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The sports update coming from the NFL Scouting Combine, where Bills head coach Sean McDermott and GM Brandon Bean met the media today. They'll get to work evaluating prospects as the week moves along. McDermott said the Bills are, quote, not as far as some people think. And he talked about the moves the Bills have to make this offseason. One move they will not make is to cut quarterback Tyrod Taylor. Both McDermott and Bean say they don't think that is in the cards. We will sit down with Bills general manager Brandon Bean moments from now and talk more about that. There are moves around the National Football League to report on. The Jets have parted ways with defensive lineman Muhammad Wilkerson, cutting $16.75 million off their salary cap. The Bears say they'll release quarterback Mike Glennon once the new league year begins on March 14th. Glennon was scheduled to make $12.5 million as a backup to Mitchell Trubisky this year. Linebacker Ryan Shazier will not play next season as he recovers from a spinal injury. Steelers GM Kevin Colbert said here at the Combine, Shazier will not play. He knows that. We know that. We're going to continue to help his recovery. And also, more news from the Jets. Matt Forte is moving on to the next chapter. The Jets running back announced his retirement from football today. He spent the first 8 seasons of his career with the Bears, built a reputation as a workhorse running back. Then he signed a 3-year, $12 million free agent deal with the New York Jets and was able to play for a couple of years with the New York Jets. Hockey, the Buffalo Sabres start a 2-game road trip against first-place Tampa Bay tonight. Faceoff is 7 o'clock in Tampa Bay. Kyle Okposo missed practice yesterday to be with his wife as she went into labor. In his absence, Seth Griffiths was recalled from Rochester and joined the team for its trip to Tampa. Sam Reinhart has 20 points in his last 19 games. He goes into tonight's game on a 4-game point streak, his longest streak since a career-best 5 straight games in December of 2016. The Sabres and Tampa Bay tonight in Tampa. And that is the sports update from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run!
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted! Tre Day! Tre'Davious White!
He's in trouble. He is sacked.
Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there!
McCoy, touch to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Welcome back to John Murphy Show. John Murphy, Donald Jones from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, joined by Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean. Your first combine as a general manager, how does that feel?
It's nice. It's cool.
Don't downplay it. I know.
No, it's cool. You know, you got your staff, and we went through what everybody's, you know, checks and balances are and what they got to do, and it was good to. We started last night with the first set of interviews in the formal, and then Today was the first height weight, so everybody's got their assignments. It's cool to see everybody rocking and rolling.
How many times when you were at Carolina all these years in the NFL did you come to the combine and think, I would do it this way, or I would do this way?
Yeah,
like, have you done that for years, probably?
Yeah, you always look, and I'm one of the ones that's curious what other teams do, too.
Yeah.
And I try and ask. I actually was standing in line this morning at Starbucks and ran into one of the scouts from another team, and I was asking him, because they had just finished their February meetings, and people do those different. And I was asking him, how deep did you go in? How far did you go? Did you guys do all seven rounds? Did you do this? And we just, I'm always curious what people do and try and pick up some things to tweak and make what we do better.
Now, when you were in Carolina, did you ever have to do this whole media ordeal?
No. No, not at all. That's the thing. If you're not the head chiefs,
yeah,
keep your mouth shut,
right,
and just do
right.
your job. But I've been around it. I've seen it enough. So it's different, but it's just really talking about what you do.
Mm-hmm. What is a typical day here at the Combine like for you as a general manager now?
So it's a full day. You know, we do height, weight. Now, it'll really intensify on Friday when O-line, running backs, and all those go, because we'll do height, weight. That starts at 7:30. Just finished that up around 10 this morning and then came over here to do this. But Friday we'll go over the running starts at 9, and, you know, the other drills. We'll end up staying over there for all three groups. In the dome until usually get done 3:30 or 4, and then you start formal interviews at 6. So you try and figure out, what do you want to do in that time? Do you want to walk back to the hotel? That's a 20-minute walk. Do you want to walk to the ball and grab something? You want to grab a bite and just you know, try and maximize your time, because that'll go from 6 till about 10
yeah.
at night on Friday night, and then come back, maybe get one cocktail and go to bed and do it again.
Tell me about those meetings. Everybody talks about those. They're a critical part of the combine. What do you want to get out of those 15-minute scheduled meetings with these prospects?
You know, you're trying to get to know these guys a little bit more, and we do a lot of film, and their position coach leads that, and the coordinator, and, you know, Sean and I'll jump in a little bit, but we generally try to be more flies on the wall and watch the interaction, and you get a feel for the guy's confidence level in the film, because he cannot prepare for this. He does not know what plays are coming up on the board and, you know, on the screen. So the position coach is talking through and asking him, what's your assignment? What could you have done better?
You're showing him his plays.
We're showing him college plays that he doesn't know. We've basically, every coach puts about 15 to 20 snaps on there. And sometimes we get through 5 snaps. Sometimes we get through 15. And we're going through different things. Some coaches will go into spreading out, what was the guy's next to you assignment? What's that defensive front you're doing? If, you know, we did O-line last night, so those are some of the questions. So you get a feel for where their knowledge is, how much they study film, how much they know ball, you know, and sometimes you see guys struggle in there too.
Yeah. Now, do you find yourself having to study a little bit, or even talk to different coaches about different schemes, so that when you get in these meetings, you know what to ask these? I know you've been around football for a long time,
yeah.
but – it's a different when you're a coach versus a GM or
yeah,
a scout.
Yeah, and that's you know, that's why we have the coaches headed up. But what happens is, a lot of times they'll ask them, hey, what do you guys call this? You know, again, I'm talking to the line, because we did. What do you guys call this protection? Did you guys have a Louis call, or, you know, when you had to move the protection, or what did you guys call it? So you're finding out what was asked of them, and, you know, I've had running backs before that were never asked to pass protect. So
yeah.
What are you keying in pass protect? Are you listening to the quarterback? Is a center making the call? You're trying to find out what was asked of them and then see what they know and what they've done. There are some guys that have never been asked, so you can't say this guy can't do pass protection if he's never been asked to do it.
Now, how much does that change your outlook on a player? Because we know college football is so different than the league.
Yeah, it is.
They're not asking these players to do really anything in college but look at numbers.
Yep.
So how does that change your outlook on a player?
Well, you got to figure out, can the guy learn? What does he know? What's he coming in with? And you got to do things. You got to teach him things. And so you may have a coach that may spend 20 minutes with him at a separate occasion and maybe a half hour and teach him, you know, what he needs to know, or install 3 plays and what he's got to, what the assignment is based on this coverage, whatever it is, and then have him go back and repeat that to him, maybe do something for a little bit, come back to it, and see how well he remembers it.
With Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, talking to him on this Wednesday at the NFL Scouting Combine. You had your staff, your personnel staff, in the first couple of weeks of this month, right, for the February meetings. What goes on at those meetings?
So that's the second time we will adjust the board. So we did our December meetings. Now we're back in February. We've seen the guys in bowl games and All-Stars. We've been able to interview some of the guys at the Senior Bowl, East-West, NFLPA. So we come back and we look at our board and we start – basically talking about guys. We'll watch film on pretty much everybody on the board unless there's a reason not
How
to.
How big is the board? How many names?
It can vary. You know, we started the other day with around 300. We've cut them down, though. So we spent about 9 straight days, all day, about 14-hour days in there, just basically watching film, talking about it. We'll spend 15 to 25 minutes on a player.
Wow.
Now, do you listen to the so-called experts and that do these old mock drafts and things like that, or what they're saying about a player? I always wonder, do GMs and organizations listen to that stuff at all?
No, because you never know where they're getting their intel. I trust the people that we've hired to help, you know, find out what we need to know on each player, the background info, and, you know, we'll bring that. So, no, that's zero part of it.
Your group, you lost Brian Gaines to he went back to Texas to take that job. Are you going to fill that job? Can you get by without that, or what's your?
So yeah, we're just going to wait till after the draft and then look. Sometimes there's movement after the draft. That's, you know, a lot of the coaching movement happens after the season. A lot of the personnel movement happens after the draft. So we'll evaluate our whole personnel staff after the draft. Free agency will have ended, obviously, before the draft, but we won't do anything there until, you know, the draft's over. And May is kind of a reflection month in personnel. Let's look what went well, what went wrong, what can we tweak. And sometimes guys get an opportunity. You know, there may be another guy on our staff that gets an opportunity to go somewhere higher, or, you know, so we'll evaluate where we're at that point and decide if we're going to fill that.
You said you've had two revisions of your board. How many between now and the end of April when the draft is? How many more?
So we won't touch it again until the scouts come back in April. We'll do this. We'll do
pro days.
We'll do the 30 visits to bring guys in. We'll do some private workouts. We'll basically a lot more of getting to know them hands-on, literally hands-on with these guys. And then we'll come back, and the coaches will then be able to insert their thoughts into the, we've yet to hear, because they haven't had time to watch film on these guys or get to me, and this is the first time they're kind of getting into that. So we'll also listen to them, see what their thoughts are on some of these guys, and then we'll look at the board again and reset it for the final version.
Now, once you leave here and you get into the pro days and you have scouts all over the country, do you guys Skype at night or something like that? Do you talk every night about what just happened at this pro day versus what just happened at this one?
No, we'll do some things, sporadically, but guys are running around traveling. March, it's called March Madness. You know, I know it's for basketball, but the scouting world, we call it March Madness too, because you're literally planes, trains, and automobiles getting here. I mean, there's some days you got to get to two pro days in the same day.
Yeah. Hey, I want to ask you, we talked to Coach McDermott about the addition of a new analytics guy, Luis Guillermo. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, you screwed it up like me. I think it was Guillermo or something.
Guillermo?
Yeah.
What do you see his role, and how will you use him in your department, personnel department?
Yeah, so we hired him for our analytics and app development,
right.
And we created a scouting system that he helped us develop from scratch. And we started that as soon as we got here, and we hired him away from the company that helped build that for us. And so he will be 100% a football analytics guy, not a business analytics. You do have those types of people, and I think, you know, Russ and those guys have those on board. But he will work with me and Sean and our staffs, and he'll do things to help us in every area, from, you know, personnel to coaching to we'll look at everything. We have not completely filled that staff. We're still working on that as we're getting him on board, but that'll be the role.
As far as scouting, are you saying you could he would set up parameters like you need a corner to have this size length arms, this size hands, that sort of thing?
You can do things like that where they can run, hey, these are the numbers, this is what plays in the league, you know, prototypical size, left tackle, he needs to be 6'5", and you do have those. And that way, if you get a guy that's 6'3" and his arm length's this, you say, all right, how many left tackles have played in this league that were only 6'3" and had 31.5-inch arms?
Okay.
Now, so you're using it for scouting right now, but once you get into the season, will the players be able to communicate and say, can you give me numbers on how many times this corner or this player did this on this down?
It would
like
more
that.
Work through the coach. Okay. So the coaches would work. And, you know, it's like anything. Some guys are more comfortable with it. Some guys are not. So I think it's more learning, and Luis bringing ideas to us as well as us bringing ideas to him.
With Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager here at the NFL Scouting Combine. And here we are with 330-some players, prospects, going to be working out for you and your personnel staff throughout this week. People to focus on the quarterbacks here. Is your group focused on quarterbacks? Do you like the quarterback crop that is in this year's draft?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely are focused on the quarterback. We spent a lot of time in the fall, you know, looking at those, and you're always trying to make sure you've got, you know, it's a quarterback league, that you've got the guy that you know. And, you know, we're happy with where Tyrod and Nathan are, but like any position, you're always looking to see, you know, are there better options out there? You know, we have to do that at every position or we're not doing our job. And even if you have a guy, you know, there are guys in this league that you hear talked about that have played and been in Super Bowls, and they're getting the same questions. I mean, Tyrod did a great job for us last year. He was a big part of us ending this 17-year drought and going to the playoffs. So mad respect for him. But, you know, at the same time, we have to do our job like we do at every position and, get you know, put our value in free agency and in the draft on these guys.
You know, I posed this question to Coach McDermott and a guy like Darnold, who decided not to throw here at the Combine. How big is that for you, guys who participate here versus I'll wait to my pro day?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You know, the quarterbacks especially.
If they're DBs.
at the end of the day, they're throwing to receivers who they didn't play with in college, and you run a 4.2. John runs a 4.3. Mm-hmm. I run a 4.8, and all this, you know what I mean? We're all coming at different. I do this end cut. I'm coming quick out of it because you're stiff-hipped or stiff-legged. You're a little slower out of it. Right. So, you know, I think from a timing standpoint, a lot of guys like to wait till their pro day, till they're working with guys they've played with. So I get it. You know, you like anything, you want everybody to compete. If we were having a ping pong tournament, I'd like to see them all go play ping pong. But yeah. They have their reasons, and I respect them.
How many quarterbacks will go in the first round in this draft this year?
You know, I don't know. I really don't, because everybody values different things. And we may value something that you may value, you know, not as highly. You may value something else. So there are, you know, a lot of good players, a lot of good guys. I've heard, you know, as many as 6 or 7, you know, could go in the first. It's a quarterback league, so, you know, and, you know, you know, if you look, there are a lot of perceived teams that need quarterback, at least, you know, what you read. You know, people say we have perceived needs that I don't always agree with either, but that's here nor there. So you don't know. It's all speculation. I don't know, to be honest.
What's your thought process on especially the quarterback position, drafting that guy in the first round, starting right away versus sitting for a few years like we've seen with an Aaron Rodgers type of situation?
Yeah, I think you have to take every situation. You know, Aaron Rodgers had Brett Favre playing in front of him,
right.
So it's a little easier to sit him, whereas you had Peyton Manning come in who had nobody and they threw him to the Wolves. I know Troy Aikman. There's different every team's different. Every situation's different. Some quarterbacks are more ready to play now than, depending on where they came from, the system they're in. You saw what Kansas City did with Mahomes this year. They pretty much set him until he got a little bit of playing time in the last regular season game. But I think you just have to basically take every situation, every team, and decide what's best for you and your team and for that player.
Brandon, you have been quoted in talking about quarterbacks that you believe in the NFL there is a need for, in general, a pocket passer, right? A guy who stands in the pocket. Are there that type of quarterbacks among this group in this year's draft? And can you talk about any of them that you see maybe fits the bill in that regard?
Yeah, I don't want to mention names from a competitive standpoint, but there are guys that do. It's great. You know, you also want guys that can get out of the pocket when it's collapsing.
Yeah.
You don't want statues back there. So it's a fine blend. In this game, you have plays where it's 3rd and 9 and you can't run for it. And you got to be able to make plays from the pocket. And we know how close these games are. Most of these, you look at the Super Bowl, most of these games come down to 3 to 4 plays, and a lot of them at the very end. And you're going to eventually have to make plays from the pocket. And that's why I say you can't just be a runaround guy, but you can't just be a statue back there either. A good blend is nice.
Is there an unusual number, quantity of NFL-ready quarterbacks in this draft compared to recent years?
You know, I don't know that. We're still, you know, getting to know. I haven't even met all these quarterbacks yet because, you know, most of them are underclassmen. But so we're still getting that part of the process. What I see on film, there's some guys that you see some talent, but you also see some flaws. And you got to dig deeper. What happened on these plays and get with them. That's part of the next phase of this process in March, in April, either visiting these guys on their campus or having them come to Buffalo and visiting with them there.
Talking with Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager at the scouting combine. On the quarterback question, you talked about Tyrod a moment ago. You hold him in high esteem, and yet, you know, he did lose his job last November 19th. Yeah. We keep talking about that as kind of a signal, like that's kind of what they think of Tyrod. Can you tell us what your standpoint is on that?
Yeah, but, I mean, I know the quarterback gets, you know, that's the one, but other guys lost their job.
Yeah.
But nobody focuses on that. They made that week mm-hmm. that this guy started for this guy. But it's a quarterback league, so that's what gets focused. It was 1 week, and we just, you know, we thought we needed a jump start. We had struggled a little bit against the Jets and the Saints offensively. And we're facing a tough team, you know, out in L.A., and they showed us how tough they were.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I thought Sean did a good job of keeping the team, you know, in perspective and being open and honest with them that we're just trying to do – Sean's trying to win every game. And I think every – as long as the coach and the players – you know, the players know that the coach is trying his best to win every game, then I think they're back it. And, you know, that showed, you know, to me a lot about the culture of what we're doing that – That could have easily derailed us because
sure.
the media was all over it. It was fine in the locker room, but it kept getting hammered and hammered.
Yeah.
And, you know, I commend Nathan. I commend Tyrod. I commend, you know, Coach McDermott. And I commend all the guys in the locker room, how they handled it. And it helped us get back on course. And, you know, hey, maybe it opened Tyrod's eyes a little bit. And he said, I got to focus on this and this. I don't know. You'd have to ask Tyrod that. But I was proud of Tyrod and how he did it. And, man, what a great dude, and he did a great job for us. We would not have been in the playoffs without Tyrod.
What do you think of the free agent class of quarterbacks this year?
You know, there's more guys out there that have had success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to acknowledge that. And so, again, we have to do our due diligence to see what that success is and how does it compare to the guys we have. And that's what we're doing. But, again, we see what some of these prices that guys are getting paid.
Yeah.
So you have to. It's not as easy as saying. And again, free agency with any position, there's so many things: price, fit, the fit for him. You know, maybe he and his family want to. They're from Texas and they want to play for a Texas team, or they don't. They're a West Coast team. They don't want to play for an East Coast team. There's so many things. Or they know a coach that's now a head coach that coached with them, you know, 4 years ago somewhere else. So there's so many things that go into free agency in general, and especially the quarterback position.
Well, you bring up the quarterback position. You brought it up first. The price is the number one thing. So does it come a point where you're like, all right, it's just the market for quarterbacks? You know you're going to have to pay big money, especially if you're getting a free agent quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you have to weigh what it costs, what it does to your cap, what else you can do, what other moves you can do around it. You know, and based on, you know, that's the positive about the draft values are set. So, you know, if you draft a guy with pick 21, which is where we're at right now, we know what that cost is. You go into free agency, you don't know what that cost is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, again, that's any position. We've had guys before. I know we were pricing a safety a few years ago, and we were like, this guy's a $3 to $3.5 million player. And come to find out, somebody else gave him like over six.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy cow, all it takes is one team
right. yeah.
that values him. And, hey, good for him, good for that team, just not a fit for us.
I have one more quarterback question, then I promise to move on from quarterback. What would you like your quarterback room to look like next season, you know, at the start of the season, in terms of who would you like to have in there? Not names, but
yeah.
what type of people would you like to have in that room?
Yeah, I mean, you want people who fit our culture, you know, smart, tough, competitive, obviously you have the skill set,
yeah.
but the intangibles, work hard, leadership is so important, and all of that. The intangibles of the quarterback position are just, you know, they're magnified because they are, whether they're a leader or not, you've seen it with, and I'm not going to name names, but you see it with guys in this league who have all the physical talent but don't have the other things that go along with it, and if they don't, generally their teams do this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do this.
Non-quarterback questions. Vontae Davis, you signed just earlier this week. Tell us about him and the timing of his signing, how that might work to the rest of your, you know, the way you play out the rest of the free agency period here.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it happens where guys, you know, get out there and get released from a team before free agency hits. And, you know, that was a need of ours, you know, right now with all the free agents, E.J. Gaines and Charisse and those guys. We didn't have a lot of depth opposite Trey. So when Vontae came out there, we did our research and decided he was a guy we wanted to bring in. And he and his agent set, you know, a list of teams that they wanted to visit. He came up. I believe we were the first team, if I remember correctly. And we had a great visit, and it went well. But we said, hey, go on your magical mystery tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when you get done, call us, and we'll see if we can work something out. If you want to be here, it's, again, it's him interviewing us as much as us interviewing. If he doesn't want to be here or he doesn't see the fit, it makes no sense to do it. And so we're excited to have Vontae. You know, he's been a number one corner in this league for a while. He had the injury setback this year, but we're looking to bring, you know, he's been in this league 9 years, to bring his experience, you know, and help Trey, and we got some experience of safety with Micah and Jordan.
In terms of free agency, is there something in being the first team that a guy might visit? Is there something there, like that was the first team that he came to for you guys, and for that free agent going to that team really wanted me. They brought me in first.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just a matter of logistics, like the agent's trying to work it out.
Right.
And because I do know he went to the West Coast and hit a couple teams out there. So I think on this one it was more logistically than anything. But at the end of the day, it worked out for us and for Vontae, and hopefully he has a great year for us.
Some of your own free agents are going to be free agents in a couple of weeks. Preston Brown, mm-hmm. He's mentioned that you've already reached out and talked to him a little bit.
Yep.
Are you confident you can bring him back, or where are you with Preston, do you think?
Well, I never want to state where we are confident-wise until I see that ink writing on, you know, with a signature,
because
I've seen guys that I've honestly thought this deal is done, and then a last minute, I just mentioned all it takes is one team, and you know, our job is to put the value where we see, look at the market. It's like pricing houses. And where do you see his value fit in the rank of the market? Can you pay that? You know, how do you allocate your resources? And, you know, Preston did a great job, you know, this past season, really bought in, did some really good things on the field. You know, I think he led the league in tackles. He, you know, and we like him. We'd love to have him back. You know, it's a two-way street. You know, he and his agent, they've hit free agency. They have the right to see what's out there. And, again, we have to see what our value is on compared to what somebody else sees him. And hopefully we can work something out.
How much, if any, dialogue have you had with Kyle Williams or his representatives?
Yeah, we've had it. You know, I had a long conversation with Kyle after the season. He got in his truck pretty quickly and headed to Louisiana.
Yeah.
But we had a good conversation, and I have a lot of respect for Kyle. And I told him, you know, the time frame that we would try to get something out to him, which, you know, we've communicated with them. And I think, you know, again, he's a free agent. He wants to do his due diligence. I respect that. Hopefully, you know, we can get him back. That's my goal. But, again, it takes two to tango. So we'll see what happens.
Last question I have for you, Brandon. The draft, you have 5 picks in the first three rounds. That's a lot.
Yeah.
You plan on using those 5, or are you looking to use them to move up and maybe get one guy? What's your approach with all of that capital to spend in the draft this year?
Well, I like the depth in the draft, and, you know, especially early on in those rounds, I'm excited to have 5 picks.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going in right now as I sit here saying we've got to move up or we've got to move back. I'm excited about having 21 and 22. I mean, anybody would love to have 1 and 2 if you have 2 picks in a round, but you had to, you know, you had to go through a lot of, you know, heat during the year to do that.
Right.
And I'm excited that we're at 21 and 22 because it showed we made the playoffs, and that was big for our city and for our team and the culture that Sean and I are building. So I have no intent to move up or down. We're focused on right now who we think we could get, you know, at that value, but it's still a ways away of figuring out the board because we get the medical here. Nobody talks about the medical, but that's the most important thing about the combine.
Yep.
There will be guys. It happens every year. It crushes you. You got a crush on a couple guys, and your doc say, "Hey, you cannot draft this guy. He is not going to make it."
That happened to me.
I know. It happened to him.
That's the hard part because a lot of times you know. You have an idea, the guy's been beat up, you look at his history, but there are always a few haymakers that, man, I never saw this coming. And, you know, we got a second-round grade and thought maybe we were going to be able to steal this guy, and now he's off our board.
Yep.
That's tough. Hey, thanks for this, Brandon.
Yes, sir.
Have a
great
week.
John.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Tom.
Brandon Bean is the Bills general manager joining us at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the Combine. John Murphy, Donald Jones at our One Buffalo studio set up in Indianapolis, the Indianapolis Convention Center, right next door to Lucas Oil Stadium. We try to get over there later this week to watch some of the workouts. Nobody, the player contingent here, nobody's done anything yet. Haven't met with the media. I guess they've done their medical exams, but they haven't done anything on the field yet. But the league gathers here, and that's what we've been witnessing today, is coaches and GMs from all over the NFL gather and meet with media from all over the country here today.
Have to believe that the linemen, the guys that are going to be on the field on Friday, are already here doing their weigh-ins and things like that. And all of that stuff is important. Typically, I guess tomorrow we'll start to see these guys kind of trickle through, the players. We see the scouts and everybody, but we haven't seen the players. It's like really just media row right now.
Yeah.
It's all we're seeing is media people.
Media people and some club executives. And, of course, we just had the Bills GM, Brandon Bean, in studio with us and Sean McDermott earlier on. If you have thoughts on anything they've said, the phone lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
What's always interesting right now is when you get to the airport, when you fly into Indianapolis right now, you see, like, all of these big dudes walking around with sweats on. And you're like, that dude is going to the combine. And they typically have on their school backpacks, you know, and they're like, that guy's going to the combine. And everybody's staring at him like, I wonder who that is. Because you don't really know who these guys are unless you are, like, Saquon Barkley or something like that. Everybody else is like, man, I wonder who – that's a big dude. Yeah. He has to be going to the combine.
Yeah, it's a great city, too. Indianapolis does a great job with this.
Sort of
good combination of kind of maintaining the low-key profile, but, you know, when they want people here, and they'll get people here for the quarterback demonstration on Saturday, they'll get, you know, a couple thousand fans here, a couple of good fans here.
I think so, and for me, I'm always – we're right by here by the bench press, and it gets pretty loud during the bench press. It got loud last year, so I'm looking forward to it this year once those guys get in here. And we know the offensive linemen, those guys will be first, and they're the ones pushing up 40 times on the bench press. What's the most you ever did on the bench press? 225.
I don't even know. How about you?
The most was here. I did 21 reps.
Really?
225. Now, the most in terms of max weight was 350.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
What were you trying to do over there?
That was when I was doing 225 at 21 times. It was crazy. I don't know what I was trying to do. I was crazy.
Trying to impress.
Yeah.
Hey, our Twitter poll today, who is the most important Buffalo Bills free agent for the team to re-sign? We talked about what hasn't happened here yet. You got to believe that what has happened already and will continue through the week are the meetings between the teams and the agents. For, you know, the Bills have some pretty high-profile free agents. Who do you think is the most important free agent for them to re-sign? On our Twitter poll, we've got more than 3,000 votes in already. It's a pretty close vote. 38% of you think Preston Brown, the linebacker, is the most important free agent to re-sign. 36% think Kyle Williams. 20% say E.J. Gaines. 6% have somebody else in mind. We've been taking those Twitter poll questions all afternoon long, and we'll take the questions on the air right now. We do have time. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to discuss that, or if you'd like to discuss what you've heard from Brandon Bean a few minutes ago or Sean McDermott earlier on. We can talk about that as well. Mike Enders tweets in, realistically, Preston Brown, who do I want to re-sign the most? Kyle Williams. Everybody would like, you know, Kyle Williams. Who doesn't want Kyle Williams? But it's going to be a business decision.
It's a business decision. And this is a team that wants to get better in all facets of their team. And that's not to say that Kyle does not help them get better. Kyle is huge in terms of leadership. He even still played well on the field, you know. at the end of the day, if there is somebody who they feel like, man, this guy is going to give us some leadership but also give us a lot more production than Kyle, then, you know, that could be the direction that they end up going. They love Kyle. They've been on record multiple occasions saying that they love Kyle. They would love to have Kyle back. It's up to Kyle if he wants to come back. But I don't think that he's the number one guy on their list right now. And I think a lot of fans are looking at that with their hearts, just like, man, I love Kyle in this city playing for this team. That's not what this is about right now.
It's not. Here's a tweet that's interesting in reaction to the Brandon Bean interview. Chris tweets in, oh, my God, Bean just says he likes Tyrod and Peterman. he can borrow my glasses if he needs them. Of course he's going to say that. I mean, what do you expect him to say, right? Of course he's going to defend his quarterbacks. They're both on the roster still.
Yeah, they are both on the roster. Why would he not defend those guys? And to be honest with you, look, I've been one that has been very critical of Tyrod and said they need to upgrade at the quarterback position. But at the end of the day, he was instrumental in helping that team get to the playoffs. And so they feel very strong about Tyrod Taylor. And whether the decision to move on from Tyrod or not has been made, I don't think that they would ever just trash Tyrod Taylor, even if he wasn't on the roster, because I think they truly respect his work ethic, the fact that he came back and took a pay cut to come back. They truly respect him as a player, his leadership, all of that stuff.
Let's take a few phone calls here. John calling from Rochester. Hello, John. Welcome. Go ahead.
Hey, John. Hey, Donald. Listen, number one, got to keep Tyrod. The guy's a great player in a lot of ways, very competitive. But my question is this. There's a report out of Rochester I've heard over the last couple of months that the Bills will be paying the full contract for Marcell Dareus in Jacksonville this coming year. And the second point is that when they benched Tyrod, and the same reporter said when they benched Tyrod in that Chargers game, there was a lot of dissension from the African-American players on the team, and not that they gave up and didn't perform to their best in the Chargers game. It didn't help. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
I never heard the second part of that at all. Dissension? African-American players about Tyrod being benched? Never heard that. Never saw it. Never noticed it.
Rochester.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Talked about it.
Who was that?
Yeah, I'm not sure who that is.
George Radney. He's a reporter for the Challenger.
Never heard of him. No, I don't think that was the case at all. Do you?
No, I don't see that. Look, guys might have – they rally around Tyrod Taylor because he's a captain, because he's a leader of the team. But I don't
think he's a good teammate.
He's a great teammate. He works hard. I mean, there's nothing really bad that you can say about his intangibles and hard work and all of that stuff. Now, on the field, the job wasn't getting done up to par, and so they decided to move on. And players on the field know that as well. You know, they know, okay, we can't move the ball. So if there were some players that were upset, it wasn't because it was a racial thing. It was because they just like to rally around. They like Tyrod Taylor as their quarterback. He was their guy. He is their guy.
No, I never heard that at all. Thanks for calling. Let's take a call here from Butch in Buffalo. Hello, Butch. Welcome.
Good afternoon, John and Donald. Thanks for taking my phone call. I'm real quick. I just want to say this. You know, my number one free agent, as far as on the Bills side, is DJ Gaines. Sign the man. What you do is you solidify your secondary with three corners, cover corners. You got your two good safeties already. So that back end is perfect. You don't have to worry about that. Free agents, you can go get maybe, hey, I would love to have Wilkerson and maybe get a one free agent linebacker and draft a linebacker. But as far as free agency go, if you're going to keep Tyrod Taylor, my number one man, I wish he never shut the door, to bring Sammy Watkins back along with the receivers you got, along with Terry Robiskie, who's a wide receivers coach. And then you keep your Tyrod. Now he has weapons. He has a tight end. You got Chris Ivory maybe coming here. You got your back. You got your good secondary. You can work on those D linemen, and you can play some football and win some more football games. So that's my whole take on it. As far as my free agency, number one outside would be Sammy. On inside, fire, it would be EJ Gaines. Thank you so much. I love you guys, and thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Butch. You know, I think it's unlikely about Watkins coming back, Donald.
Yeah.
Very unlikely. There were reasons why they were trading him away last August.
Right.
A lot of it had to do with signability, whether they'd be able to get him under contract. A lot of it had to do with, you know, just what they perceived as his fit in the new culture here. I don't think they thought he was a fit for what Sean McDermott wanted to build.
I think that was a big part of it.
Yeah.
Signability, injuries, all of that stuff went into it. But the cultural fit was, I mean, that was a huge part of it, you know. And I'd like to imagine if he was a very hard worker, not to say he wasn't a hard worker, but if they felt like he was a very good cultural fit, not that they didn't think twice about trading him, but it wouldn't have been as, you know, black and white. Like,
right,
let's go ahead and just move on from him, because he is potentially a very good player in this league. But I just think culturally he didn't fit into what they're trying to make happen. The same thing with Marcell Dareus.
Yeah.
I just had a tweet, and one of my buddies who always tweets me said, you think they'll go after Muhammad Wilkerson. And it's the same thing. You know, he's just not the cultural fit that I think that they would like to have here in Buffalo. Great player, but culturally in the fit that you talk about character guys, he's not that guy right now.
Here's a call from Phil in North Tonawanda. Go ahead, Phil. You're on the air with us.
Thank you, John and Donald, for taking my call. I remember when we got South Darius, we traded him. I thought we got a fifth-round pick, an extra fifth-round pick instead of a sixth-rounder because they made the playoffs. And every time you list the graphics, we have one fifth-round pick. So I was wondering if we have two. And if we do, can you ask these scouts or somebody what they think of Kyle LaLetta, quarterback out of Richmond Spiders? I think he's got a lot of Brett Favre in him. And if we get that extra free fifth-round pick, I'd love to see the Bills take a flyer on that kid.
Yeah, the Bills do have an extra fifth. They have two fifths.
They do.
And
they
that
do.
Kid, come. You're right, it came from the Marcel Darius trade.
I'd say that I don't think that kid's going to make it to the fifth round.
No.
I don't. He had a pretty good Senior Bowl. They're going to look back, and maybe if we get our buddy Chris Brown back on, he was down at the Senior Bowl to talk about the letter from Richmond. He had a pretty good Senior Bowl. I don't think he's going to make it to the fifth round. I could be totally wrong, but I could see him coming off the board in the third, fourth round.
I love it.
All right. Thanks very much for your call. Yeah, we'll see. Thanks for your call. Time now for NFL True or False. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. This is interesting, Donald, and I think it sounds pretty easy to do. The NFL should change the rule on when you can hire coaches postseason. We saw what happened with Josh McDaniels this year, and Frank Wright winds up here in Indianapolis. There are people who say, why do you have to wait? You know, they have these little windows, windows when you can interview coaches. They can't announce a new hire until those windows elapse. There's talk that maybe you just hire when you want. Coaches with playoff teams just get hired whenever they want. I think that's true. I think that'd be a good idea. I'd be up for that.
Yeah, true. I go true. I'm up for that because I think there are coaches who are on the very good teams. And at the end of the day, if a team truly likes that coach, then they'll go ahead and wait to interview that coach. But ultimately, there are coaches who don't get an opportunity to interview because they're still coaching. And a team might say, you know what, we don't want to wait. We want to go ahead and hire somebody so that we could get the entire staff in place. And we don't want to wait because once you wait, you lose out on probably some good coaches all throughout the league. And so, yeah, just make it even across the board.
Yeah, so announce it when you want. Guys can continue to work at their jobs. I wouldn't have a problem with that
at all. They do it in college.
Yeah.
These guys take jobs in college and then still coach in their bowl games.
NFL True or False Part 2. The Bears are going to be a playoff team. This is something that Bears running back Jordan Howard said on NFL Network Good Morning Football earlier this week. His quote, the Bears are definitely going to have a winning season. We're going to get to the playoffs, so I guarantee we get to the playoffs. True or false? Yeah. I'm going false on that.
I'll go false. I love the conviction. Yeah. There by Jordan Howard. But at the end of the day, I think the Vikings have a very strong defense. All they have to do is solidify their quarterback position, and they'll probably win that division. And you can never count out the Packers. You can never count them out with Aaron Rodgers as the guy. So I don't see the Bears as a third team in that division to make it in a wild card because there are too many other good teams in the NFC.
I agree. Finally, NFL. True or false, and it deals with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers deserves a record-breaking contract. There are reports that he's probably going to get a contract soon. Mm-hmm. The Packers didn't say much about it today from what we can tell, but he deserves a record-breaking contract, true or false?
True.
I'll say false. I mean, Kirk Cousins is probably going to be the highest-paid player in the league in the next couple of weeks, wouldn't you think?
He doesn't
deserve
it. Does
it matter if – well, all right. You're right. He doesn't, but he's a quarterback.
I know. And that's,
he's a free agent.
I mean, he's getting paid just because the market is going to dictate
that. That's how it works.
But Aaron Rodgers is a guy who truly deserves it. So I'll go true because he deserves it, not just because he's won a Super Bowl, because he's the MVP of that team. That team does not go without that dude, you know. And Kirk Cousins, yeah, he's proven – I mean, he's thrown for over 4,000 yards on multiple occasions, yada, yada, yada. I get all that stuff. At the end of the day, you have not won anything. He's going to get paid because that's just how it works. He's the latest guy to get paid. Aaron Rodgers deserves that contract.
Okay. NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Speaking of quarterbacks, the Bills were speaking about him today, Sean McDermott. When he met with the media first thing this morning, around 8:15 this morning, the Bills head coach was asked about Tyrod Taylor's future with the Buffalo Bills. Here's what he had to say.
Well, when you look at our quarterback position, Tyrod and Nate, you know, those are two good quarterbacks. You know, Tyrod now can add to his resume that he helped and was instrumental in getting us to the playoffs and breaking a 17-year, what was a 17-year drought. You know, you've heard me say it before, his work ethic and intangibles are unmatched, and his leadership that goes along with the position. So, you know, we're still going through that process. We're in a good position and, you know, with some options out there. So that'll work itself out.
Sean McDermott on the future with Tyrod Taylor. Not a whole lot there, other than the fact that they're not going to cut him.
Right, and that still leaves us with options.
Yeah.
So not a whole lot there.
Yeah, hold on to their options as long as they can.
Right.
The Bills did make a signing earlier this week. Vontae Davis, veteran corner, signing on with the Buffalo Bills, and here's what Sean McDermott told the media about that early this morning.
Yeah, well, let's start off by first giving Brandon and his staff the credit, you know, to be able to land a free agent like Vontae at this time of year. Has a lot of benefits, you know, a lot of which have been talked about already. A veteran player that fits into our system. He's got a number of starts, obviously, in ball production. So, you know, that said, you know, every spot on our roster has to be earned, and he'll embrace that mindset.
Hey, Sean, at this point in his career, could he be a possible guy in the slot? Going to be an outside corner.
Yeah, we'll start off outside and go from there. You know, we do have some flex with Vontae and Tre'Davious as well. And so, you know, at this point in the year, really nothing's off the table, whether it's schematically, personnel-wise, so on and so forth.
Yeah, not a whole lot. Nothing's off the table. Didn't take anything off the table.
Yeah, it's all still there. I mean, with keeping them, you can still do different things that you want to do. So.
Yeah. All right, a break here. We're coming back with more in a moment from the Combine, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What did we learn? Presented by Advanced Alarm. What did we learn today? We have Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, with us for a long while in the 2 o'clock hour today. And he talked about the quarterbacks here at the Combine and who he is interested in. Here's what Brandon Bean had to say.
We definitely are focused on the quarterback. We spent a lot of time in the fall, you know, looking at those. And you're always trying to make sure you've got, you know, it's a quarterback league, that you've got the guy that you know. And, you know, we're happy with where Tyrod and Nathan are, but like any position, you always look to see, you know, are there better options out there? You know, we have to do that at every position or we're not doing our job.
Brandon Bean talking about the plan at quarterback. He didn't say a whole lot about it. Sean McDermott joined us today. The Bills head coach talked about many things, including Tyrod Taylor. He says the Bills have no plans as it stands to release Tyrod Taylor, at least right now.
This is a good football player that's was instrumental in helping us reach the playoffs for the first time in 17 years, as we all know. So Tyrod, you know, when you look at the intangibles, does a phenomenal job. He's one of the first in the building, one of the last to leave, and he's a leader on our football team. So, and I saw him grow during the year as we all grew together, and that was fun to watch. You know, I like where we are right now at the position, and we'll just see how things move forward.
Donald, tomorrow is March 1st. My guess is by April 15th, we will have a much clearer definition of where the Bills are going at quarterback. What do you think?
I would think so.
But then free agency will be over.
Yeah, and we'll know what's going on with Tyrod Taylor, for the most part, if he's on the roster at that point. But, yeah, free agency will be over. You kind of have a clear vision of what they want to do until draft night comes around. Then maybe they trade. You never know.
But he's on the roster now, and as far as McDermott and Bean are considered, he is still on the roster and still going to be on the roster. They do have no plans to release him. What else did you learn today? What did you learn today from McDermott and Bean? Anything?
No. I didn't learn much.
No,
and they kind of keep everything close to the vest there.
Yes, they do.
They don't want to let anything out, especially right now, because, I mean, it's business. They don't want to let any get an upper hand for anybody else. I think we learned some things from Bill Polian.
Yeah.
Yeah, as he talked about the analytics and
right.
how they use analytics.
How he would use it, yeah. Yeah, Pauline's been in the news. I mean, and it sounded like he wasn't happy about it.
He wasn't. He got some clear backlash from that Lamar Jackson comment. Yeah.
All right, Donald, thanks. We're back here tomorrow. I want to thank our whole crew here, including our production assistants back in Orchard Park, J.J. Torito, George Glass, Jeff Colton, Nick Thomas, Amador, Kelly Rood, Mike Adamek, and producer Jay Harris here in Orchard Park. Thanks to Chris Brown for joining us. We're back here tomorrow at 12 noon with another installment from the Combine, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.